B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
We get rolling the John Kincaid Show.
John's day is thrown off.
Yeah, the
you're going to be a mess all day, aren't you?
No, I won't. You'll
be all right.
No, Ricky Bo's ears will maybe be the mess. I had to use my headsets yesterday downstairs at our remote broadcast. So when I left, I didn't take them. And so they're with engineering, I guess.
You guess.
Still has yesterday. Well,
they might have been sold.
They could have been sold.
Somebody might have stood outside. Yeah.
They could be gone.
$5 are best offer.
No, I mean, I was the only one who had to use my own headset.
No, I brought mine down yesterday.
Did you have to use yours?
Yeah. Because apparently that's a thing now.
I didn't realize
that. We all brought ours, didn't we?
You grabbed mine.
Yeah, we all brought ours.
Yeah, but that's a thing now.
But wait a minute. When I got there, though, there were headsets out. So
didn't
everybody trade out their headsets yesterday?
I don't know.
It's very strange.
Mine in. Yeah.
A lot of things are strange around here, John.
There could be some strange things going on this morning. Bradford White Water Heaters is here for the pro. Bradford White will give you that great water heater if you want the tankless, you want the electric, you want whatever. They've got them for you with Bradford White. Coach says on this Wednesday morning, according to a survey by the health site DrEd.com or DrED.com.
Which one is it, Coach?
Is this a direct ed?
I know. We need to know.
Yeah, 67% of us have had one of these type of friends in our lives at some point.
A pathological liar.
A fake friend.
I was going to say a friend with benefits. Well, those are cool.
That's a great answer, Bob.
Because I thought it was Dr. ED.
Pat?
Not Dr.
Yeah,
Ed.
I don't think I'm topping that. It's probably that.
You think it's the friends with benefits?
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty high, 67%.
67 sounds high for that one, even though it sounds great. I don't think there are a lot of people who lie about sex. Constantly.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with mine.
How do you lie about, what do you mean you lie about sex?
The guys who tell me they're getting sex all the time I find to be the guys who weren't getting it.
I got
to
tell you, I have a great group of friends because never, ever, ever.
You don't talk about it?
No.
No, you don't talk about it.
Didn't do it when we were young, when we got married, never.
You don't talk about it because guys who do.
That's what I like to do. I like to hook up with guys.
Tend to be overselling it. So, Coach, what's the answer? Bob,
and he keeps beating these other guys off.
You are correct, Bob.
I just looked it up after you said it. That's funny. Wow. 67%.
Yep. That's BS. There's no way.
Just because you're in the 33%, John, doesn't mean it's BS.
No.
I know a few people, friends of mine, that are single or divorced or whatever, that have a couple of these.
That have a couple of them?
Yep. I believe this number is pretty accurate.
Pat, are you in the 67%?
No personal questions.
3%. All right, well,
I have plenty of friends with benefits. Like, my one friend gets discounts at Qdoba.
That's really good.
That's a benefit.
Well, you have Applebee's stock or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have plenty of friends and plugs all over the place. I got a friend who would get me tickets to...
You mean that's not your hair? Those are plugs?
No.
Oh. So you're not like LeBron and Tom Brady.
Pat's still has the best hair in the station.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I think people are saying it.
Yeah. Far and wide, yes. Far and wide. The Phillies' magic number is 12. No thanks to the freaking Phillies. Thanks to the Mets. The Mets trying to help the Phillies back into a playoff spot. One in the postseason spot that the Phillies are now backing into the last wild card. They're now a game and a half behind the Padres. All they have to do is tie the Padres. So they're only one back in the loss column. But remember, if you get the third wild card... Not only are you just getting the gift into the postseason that never existed until this stupid third wild card was added, but you're also then passing up the opportunity to take advantage of the Mets and the Braves battling it out to the last day, where they won't get to set up their rotations. You'll be waiting for the Cardinals, who should win their division. Right now, they have an 8 or 9 game lead. They will be able to set up their rotation whenever they want. So, in other words, the Phillies just continuing to... They are... Dr. Avi Nanapel, Bob, you've got his number.
Great man.
You should. They really need to talk to Dr. Appel.
Offense was alive last night. They had 11 runs, 15 hits. Right, yeah, they hit 357 in the game last night. Schwarber, three-run homer. Real Muto, five hits.
After the
Dalton Guthrie, first major league home run. That was cool. Yeah.
After the game was over. After the game was already done. It's like the team down 34-0 that then puts up 20, and it's like, wow, look at that. They are so listless. They are just... There's something wrong, and I've described
the pitching
before.
Sucks all of a sudden. It was like their backbone. It was their backbone all season long, and now you can't. You know, I saw some memes yesterday about how Kyle Gibson's going to go out there and get rocked, and it came to fruition. Aaron Nola, I saw another tweet that said, "I need to see Aaron Nola pitch in the playoffs and blow up." I just need to see.
Why does he need to see?
Because I think people are kind of done with it. I think Aaron Nola hasn't really great season up until September. And he's been okay. It's not like he's completely imploding, but does anyone here on the show have confidence in him going out and starting a game in the playoffs?
There shouldn't be.
No. Zach Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, Noah Syndergaard stinks. Bailey Falter's been your best starter over the last 6 or 8 weeks.
He has
consistently.
Been.
And that's horrifying. So, yeah, like, I'm cheering for the Mets because I do want to see the Phillies get into the postseason, and I don't have confidence they can do it on their own.
Friday, scoreless through 4. Saturday, scoreless through 5. Sunday, scoreless through 5. Tuesday, scoreless through 3.
We'll get the meathead out of the leadoff
spot. They have no ability to start out a game. They dig a hole every freaking game. They come out and will not give their... And two, the pitching has sucked. But when your offense is absolutely gutless to start games, the most critical games of the year, and you're just flailing away up there, and you're not putting any runs on the board... And right now, on average, the Phillies are scoring, how about this, for a week and a half, on average, the Phillies are scoring their first run after they've already recorded 11 outs.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
I mean, it's the offense is not giving the pitchers any breathing room. So if they're a little tight in the sphincter.
I've said it all year. I don't get the Schwarber thing a little bit.
No, it's nice to see him hit a home run with guys on those white things.
Yeah, what are they called? Know.
Base runners.
Those are cool. And when you're, leading the NL and, third in baseball or whatever. And
40 home runs.
Yeah, you'd like to try and capitalize on those as much as possible.
Yeah, and I hear all the people, how many times does a leadoff guy come up with, how much does he lead off an inning? Well, John had a good point. The Phillies got no hits in a whole series in the first 3 innings of every game.
Yeah.
So that means he's leading off.
Speed on the base pass is good.
Well, also, though, it tells me they are on the brightest lights. This crew, whatever it is about them, they don't have it. They don't have swagger. They don't have confidence. They don't have energy. They're listless. And even the young guy, what I worry about is the young guys getting fed off of it. Stott and Bohm and all the young guys getting their career started, that this is what they sort of see.
Well, they're Phillies players.
And it'll be okay. You hear about it. We have time. If I hear that freaking one more time about, we still have time.
I don't think John Middleton wants to hear that.
We have time. You know, it's not like, you know, we got time. We'll work this out. We'll straighten it out. There's 2 damn weeks left.
Yeah.
Stop telling. Well, you know, let's not have any panic here. We're fine. And guess what? So you can show up against bad teams and beat them, and you just totally crap your pants when a competitive type team comes to town or you go visit them.
You know, they get down 7-1 last night, and then they get it back to 7-5. And I was thinking, like, okay, maybe this is the kick in the ass they needed. You know, and here you go. And then Bryce Harper makes the running mistake on a line drive, and it's like,
but that doesn't matter.
You got to be. It matters.
I believe it matters. But
that wasn't that was stupidity. That wasn't aggressive base running. You're intertwining the two.
I had people on Twitter last night going, "Oh, I'm sure John will bring that up tomorrow morning." You're right.
Yeah, that was dumb.
It doesn't mean anything. Smart players don't make smart decisions in a pennant race with the games on the line. You're right. It doesn't matter. Just cheer the enthusiasm. Go get your pom-poms and shake them.
No, he had a brain fart and
seriously.
He froze. Yeah.
It's freaking ridiculous.
I don't know how off the bat he thought that was going to be a line drive that got down. It was a wish as soon as it went off the bat. But Major League players should know a wish is halfway between. You're not running.
Yeah.
That was deflating. And then they tried to come back again, and I thought, all right, they're showing some fight. But, you know, the bullpen does what the bullpen recently has done, and it just gets out of hand. You got to bounce back. It's like, you know, you're a professional player. These guys didn't get where they are without having fight in them. They face challenges throughout their career at some point or another. Well, now's the time. So
today's the day.
Can't be relying on the Mets all the time to pull out wins.
These three games. Huge Taijuan Walker fan today. Let's go, Taijuan.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully we got Taijuan Walker on the mound for
us
today.
He's my favorite Phillies pitcher
to try to pitch us into the postseason.
Yeah.
Thank you, and hopefully Pete Alonso can come up with some big hits for us.
Love that polar bear
to help try to get us into the postseason. Do us a favor because that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at it. The Braves and the Mets are battling to win the division. The Braves have won 8 in a row. The Mets have won 6 in a row. Like, they're fighting as division leaders. And then you have your wild card guys that are saying, oh, I've lost 5 in a row.
You take it.
We've lost 6 out of 7.
And that's why they're wild card teams.
Exactly.
Nobody has lost more games in a row in baseball right now.
That's good. That's a good time of the year for that.
Big time of year for those Phillies to show up really big.
Well, they're just doing what they're accustomed to doing. John Clark put out a tweet yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this.
What's their September record now?
In 2021, the Phillies lost 6 of their... And all of these, they were kind of in contention.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
They were.
2021 lost 6 of their final 7 games. In 2020, they lost 7 of their final 8. In 2019, they lost 8 of 9 from September 19th to the 26th.
Oh, my God.
And in 2018, they lost 9 in a row from September 20th to September 28th.
Phillies baseball, baby!
I talk about it all the time. Yeah, the mental, I don't know, and I think it's more prominent in baseball than anything else, but they have a mental collapse here in September that they got to get over that hurdle somehow. I don't know how, but they have to.
Pat, what's the common denominator? That we're talking back to, is there a common denominator? I mean, it's the same guys over and over again, year after year.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much a common denominator. I think maybe the absence of Nick Castellanos might have something to do with it, him being out of the lineup all of a sudden. You know, it
starts to show itself.
Yeah,
more.
A little bit. And I don't want to give too much credit to that because this is a guy that we've said all year hasn't had a really good year. But maybe
for him, but he's still solid.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it's the baseball card analogy.
I just think
they're in a bad stretch. I think they'll get out of it.
Yeah, well,
I'm not worried. Yeah, I'm not worried at all.
I can't understand how you're not worried.
I'm just not.
But why? You kept bringing up Milwaukee because you're saying, like, Milwaukee's playing. Milwaukee's playing well.
Yeah, but I'm not worried.
Well, thank God for the Mets last night, or it's a 1.5 game lead. And I know the tiebreaker, but that's a tight ass for the final 2 weeks of the season.
I don't know what to say.
I don't have much confidence in this team.
Yeah, how can you?
It's still 2.5 on Milwaukee.
Look,
yeah, I'm saying if Milwaukee had won last night, thank God for the Mets, it would have been a game and a half now.
Exactly. Mets play this afternoon, by the way. So
let's go to our favorite baseball team. Yeah, I got to get in front of the TV for that. Get some popcorn.
Be listening to the best show ever, and then
watching the Mets.
Watch the Mets win for all of us because the Mets are the heroes we need right now.
Yeah,
to make the postseason because our team can't hit. They wake up around the fourth inning.
Well, they can't hit versus good
fourth,
teams.
Fourth, fifth inning. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they can hit versus scrubs.
So let's see how many scrub teams are left.
And Sandy Alcantara for some reason.
We have some scrub teams coming up. Let me see. Oh, no, the Braves are coming to town.
Yeah, not great.
So bad. Hey, enjoy brand new seasonal specials at your local PJs, including the new Wing of the Month, Pumpkin Spice. There's nothing better than watching the games with friends at PJs while you're down in those PJs wings. We have a major fan fest announcement. Coming up today at 8 a.m.
Bob, it's big.
Have you looked in the... Bob looked in the envelope this morning.
I didn't look in the envelope. Coach just told me it was big, and I believe Coach.
No, he said it's... Coach tells you it's big. If Coach tells you it's big, it's big.
It's a big announcement.
I bet he tells a lot of people it's big.
Vernon's on the line in Philadelphia. Vernon, what's going on, brother?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Vern.
I have two questions. My first question is, I want to know if we do a poll, the poll on people that checked out. Like, we had the enthusiasm, like I say, right before September, and it seemed like, you know what I mean, like it died down. So if we do a poll, how many people checked out? That's my first question.
Vernon, on the first question, I don't think you had it. You had 12,000 people, 7,000 people, 10,000 people in the stadium. There was no buzz.
Okay, all right, all right.
Here's it was listless, like the team.
All right, now here's my next question, which boggles my mind. I see guys getting on bases, and because Bryce does this a lot, he'll put that oven mitt on, and he'll have his baseball glove in his hand. And I'm wondering, what in the hell? Why in the hell are you running bases with a baseball glove in your hand? What?
Because what it does, Vern, is it keeps your hand closed. Okay, you're holding on to that. So when you slide into a base, your hand doesn't extend, and therefore it doesn't have the risk of getting spiked or stepped on or you breaking a finger going into something.
It can affect your brain on the base running pass, though. It can. It can sometimes make you make decisions that just are totally stupid. Games on the line, pennant race on the line.
Yeah, that was bad last.
It's not a pennant race, really. It's the third place race, which is what it really is. Hey, the New Jersey Transit Police Department reminds you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. All right, Bob was rewatching the game yesterday. I'm watching the 15-minute game from the NFL Plus, which is absolutely awesome. One of my favorite new things in the whole world. I rewatched the game and I have a conspiracy theory, but I wonder if it adds up. Did the Eagles hide their opening of the season game plan versus Detroit so the Vikings wouldn't see it? There's nothing about the Detroit game plan that resembled the Viking game plan.
Well, there's nothing about the Detroit defense that resembled the Viking defense.
Yeah, they were two different things. Detroit went all man-to-man. Minnesota went all zone.
So you plan all week based on what they do? Because Minnesota...
I hope so.
Minnesota,
yeah, that's what I want them to do.
So you want them to do that? You
don't want every game plan is a snowflake, John. They're all unique. They're all different.
You want it all unique and all different.
I want 17 different game plans.
The basic nature, even Dan Orlovsky...
Who, by the way, totally farted on air.
He did fart.
Those things happen when you sneeze.
Here's
sometimes.
The mistake he made.
You can't hesitate.
You got to talk through it. Just keep going.
Yeah, just
he paused,
which
let the fart breathe, and then continue.
You can't do that.
You sound like someone with experience.
But even Dan Orlovsky
sat behind a microphone for a long time, bro.
Right? That the game one offensive approach was very rudimentary. And the game two offensive approach was much more high-tech, much more slick, much more completely different. They played basic, like high school football in the first game against Detroit, their offensive game plan. Then they go and play the Vikings, and it's this slick, all these wrinkles, as Bob talks about wrinkles. Did they hide it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just Shane Steichen sitting down, knowing that they like that. Brain farting on the defensive coordinator. Vic Fangio style defense.
Go right through it.
Yeah. Not a real fart, a brain fart. I'm sure Shane Steichen looks at it and goes, okay, yeah, I know this defense well. I coach against it half the time. I saw it all last year for 17 weeks. I know how to attack this.
Yeah.
Boom. Week one, maybe he knew that the Lions were going to go man all game, and maybe he knew that defensive line was stout. And he goes, all right, well, the way I counter them getting pressure is to go RPO and attack them that way. I mean, both led to good offensive performances, so I don't think there's any conspiracy theory to it.
So you think we'll go back? I think
Jalen's versatile, and he's going to use every option he has to attack the opposing defense.
Here's what I'll say. I don't believe we're going to see the game one offense again. I think we'll see it at times, little snippets of games. The game two offensive attack is going to be their offensive attack moving forward.
Well, it all depends on the defense. You can't run some of the things that you ran the other night against man. It's like anything else. You know, if you're playing basketball against the zone, you run a different offensive scheme than you do against man-to-man. That's just the way it is. I think, you know, from what we talked about with how much Jalen Hurts ran in game one, because of that man-to-man where you have receivers going downfield, their backs to the quarterback, I'm sure it was put in Jalen Hurts' head, look, if that rush comes, the only thing seeing you is that free safety and he's 25, 30 yards out, you're going to have room to run. And he took advantage of that. Then they go into this Minnesota game, and they said, and we talked about it before the game, we said, it's a soft zone defense, keep everything in front of you, and they game plan perfectly for it. And, you know, it's almost like, whether you're a Hurts fan or not, these first two games you have to say, okay, they can kind of do different game planning with him, whatever they want.
I just wonder is that Mahomes, Josh Allen, the best quarterbacks in the game, Are you changing how you they play? They pretty much play the same game.
Well, Jalen Hurts isn't them.
Like, is that it, though?
Yeah, probably.
You go into a game.
I mean, Mahomes, you trust.
Justin Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, everything. You just go, those guys, Jalen had a spectacular game the other night. But they don't change up the game. Mahomes and Allen, they play the same game and go, try and stop us.
Well, they're probably the two best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you trust Mahomes to go out there and freestyle.
Bob, when you had an approach, isn't it most of the time you try to say, we know what we are. Try and stop us.
When you're the best, yeah. When you're one of the best, sure. I mean, you know, if I'm a boxer and I know that I can do anything I want pretty much against anybody, great, I'm going to keep doing that. Then I run into somebody and they have a great jab that I've never seen before, and it's like, oh, man, I got to get better at that. I'm going to keep doing what I do until somebody stops me, sure. But the Eagles aren't good enough for that yet. Jalen Hurts isn't good enough for that yet. So they're going to have to game plan. Hopefully you see something pretty much different. I don't want to say all 17 games, but yeah, I think that's really good coaching that you change the game plan like that.
At 9:45 today, we will have Phillies Braves tickets to give away for Friday night.
Nice.
Special Know Your Show. So if you're listening all day today, you want to go to the Phillies and the Braves on Friday night, we've got tickets for you. You just have to know the show. And those questions will come up today at 9:45.
Nice.
So be sure to join us tomorrow at PJ's in Haddonfield.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I got some buddies over there, so we should have a good turnout.
They coming?
I think
Madden
so.
Madden crew?
Madden is coaching football until 7, but right. He said he'll come by
are
after.
Are they Met fans?
No, they're all diehard Phillies fans.
Okay, just want to make sure.
He's the one on me with the frontline battles with the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, and Nats.
We're all Mets today.
Oh, huge Mets fan. Let's go Taiwan.
Every one of us is, you know, because that's the only way it seems like you're getting in the postseason.
He's not biting, so we might as well
if
stop.
If other teams do.
Oh, no, we're not going to stop.
Oh, no, no,
bite
no.
Or don't bite.
I'm on his side.
Take it.
There will be no biting. None of that biting. We can't have that. Coming up, how many teams in the NFL are better than the Eagles? I got a number. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I thank you yesterday for all of the fantastic work that you did trying to raise cash for the American Association for Cancer Research, because it impacted my life, it impacted my family's life, and from the generosity of people like you, you give cancer patients like myself the opportunity for a brighter tomorrow. You donate. And what you do is you support more than 17 million Americans that are cancer survivors today by making sure that the work of 50,000 plus researchers are able to continue. Donate to the AACR. You directly support the scientists and doctors who discover the next cancer breakthrough or treatment that will benefit us, our family members, and more. So why don't you support a great, great charity? You did it yesterday. You can do it today. AACR.org/fanatic. And I want you to know, there's going to be a special announcement about why you want to donate to the AACR. Be listening later on in the show after 8 o'clock. It's John Kincaid telling you cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That'll be a real friendly atmosphere in Cleveland. They're very calm people. They are so pissed about last weekend. I mean, absolutely pissed.
Elite Joe Flacco just... I really cracked up when they said the Browns were bringing the players' kids down to the field level so they could, like, celebrate after the game. And then Joe Flacco just said, bleep them kids!
Well, he's got, like, 12 of his own,
yeah,
so maybe
got
they
a
outnumber
football team.
Yeah, he leaves them in the stands until the...
I felt bad. Nick Chubb even had to come out and, like, apologize, you know? And like, it's kind of similar to what we talk about, you know, the stuff that Miles Sanders did in the past and all of that. Like, it's such a fast-moving thing. Your ultimate goal in your head is to win, 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 get a touchdown, all that. It's really hard to slow down, and even the best of the best, and even the guys that have done it before in Nick Chubb, sometimes it's just, like, I'm amazed at football players that they get their bodies and their minds amped up. You think of a Brian Dawkins. How do you calm that down after a game? How do you go home that night and just eat a dinner and have a glass of wine? That's got to be really, really hard.
I got, like, Christina had already been asleep when I got in from the Eagles game the other night. And then I'll show her if my sleep score is, like what I got as a sleep score the night before. And she goes, you only got, like, 3 hours and 45 minutes sleep. Why? You were home earlier than that. And I said, because of the fact that I only got 3 hours, because I couldn't just go to sleep. You come in from an I don't even play in the game. Just watching a game.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you're ready to just nod off after that. An Eagles game, a Phillies game, I can go to sleep. Because mostly their offense puts you to sleep. Their team puts you to sleep. It's usually not a nail biter.
Their baseball melatonin.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was...
What did you supplement in with the Phillies last night while watching them and they're getting their asses kicked? So, obviously, you have to go back and forth with something. Anything good?
No, I took the pain in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You took it. You did not flip around?
You just kept taking it and taking
it. Well, I couldn't find the remote, so I had to do the remote on the iPhone, and I hate that, so I just sat there.
What's your go-to?
We were bouncing last night to... gosh, what was it? It's a crime one that has like 7 episodes to it, and I'm totally drawn a blank because my wife's been watching it.
Entourage.
And I just sort of picked it up. Yeah, it is. No, I think it was Breaking something. Breaking Laundry. Breaking something.
Oh, Breaking Good.
It's a crime thing, and we've been watching it, and I fell asleep.
Friday Night Lights.
I literally fell asleep. Yes. Who's the killer?
Got it. That was season 2.
Who's the killer?
It was
Saturday morning is the killer of Friday night. There we go.
The tight end.
Hey, it's way too nice outside to eat dinner at home. Instead, take the family out to PJ's tonight. We'll be there tomorrow night in Haddonfield. From 5 to 7 p.m., we hope to see you there. Whether you're into wings and burgers or you're craving a fresh salad, they got everything for you. We love our local PJ's. Thought it'd be an interesting thing to do this year is instead of doing power rankings, just to sort of do amnesia rankings. Now, this has become a popular thing here in the Philadelphia market, too. I understand other analysts have decided to do the exact same concept, which we started last week. How many teams are better than the Eagles? And I looked at it last night that I said, you have to say decisively, no, nothing that's been accomplished in the past counts. So you can't say Patrick Mahomes has won Super Bowls, blah, blah, blah. Everything has to be like an amnesia. Just based on the 2 weeks that we've seen, I think there's 2 teams better than the Eagles. And I think it's the Bills and the Chiefs. And they're the only two. I think the
Buffalo's the best, I think, so
I think
far.
The Eagles, and people will say to me, what about Miami? I think the Eagles could put 45 up on Miami. Watching their defense.
They might be able to put 50 up on us is the problem. Those two.
Not after seeing what they did against Minnesota. No, I don't believe that.
Look, they haven't been real impressive so far. Their defense has. But I think Tampa Bay is definitely in the talk there also.
I put Tampa Bay right now, though, after watching I watched probably almost half of that Saints game against the Bucs. I was thoroughly unimpressed. And I think the Saints defense is pretty good, though. So yeah. I have to take that into consideration. But when Tom Brady with...
And Dallas' defense is solid, too, to this point.
With Tom Brady with 8, I don't think Dallas is better than them, though. Going in,
no, but just look at both of their outcomes were against good defenses.
Tom Brady with around 8 minutes to go in a game is 3-3 on the road. You never see that.
Now, Tampa's only given up, I think, like 13 points in both games.
Their fantasy defense got me 26 points this week and won me a game.
Oh, so congratulations on your success.
I know everybody cares and was riveted.
Uh-huh. I think they're going to
Tampa Bay coming through big.
I think there's 2 teams that I'll say are decisively better than the Eagles.
I would put Tampa right there with them. The Giants, no.
So you, but no, better than them. I put Tampa even with them. For 2 weeks. Remember, you can't look at Tom Brady.
But that's impossible to do because it's Tom Brady.
No, you can. No, you're just looking at 2 games. You're looking at 2 games and how the teams played. They don't look like a well-oiled machine, Tampa.
But they played 2 better teams than the Eagles have played and won both. So
yeah, and the Eagles eked out a win. I mean, we can say Detroit's better. But they eked out a win over Detroit.
So how many would you have better? Do you have Tampa better than them?
Well, it's impossible for me to drop Tom Brady's.
It's not impossible because
yes,
I can do this.
But they
so
beat,
I know
yes,
you
yeah,
can.
I would put them ahead because they beat 2 better teams than we've beaten. Yeah,
what about you, Pat? How many do you have ahead of them?
Probably 2 or 3. Yeah.
Chiefs, Bills.
Yeah.
You think the Bucs are better than them?
I'm torn. I mean, I'm leaning towards all that drama with Brady. I think it's going to rear its ugly head, but... if it's not the Bucs, I feel like there's no way. It's hard for me to imagine the Eagles are the 3rd best team in the NFL.
Miami?
No, I mean, Tua. There's somebody else that's out there that maybe hasn't shown themselves, maybe because they're 1-1.
Like Green Bay, maybe.
But right now,
you can't say it because they're 1-1 and they haven't played. They played 1 game that was a stinker.
Yeah, you know, when the Sixers staff came in, one of the guys said something that was interesting. He said, you know, in Philadelphia, we don't think that maybe we deserve to have nice things. And maybe that's where I am with this Eagles team where I go, no, there's no way that this team is as good as maybe they are. You know, there's no way that they're the 3rd best team in the league. So maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe they are, but...
No, I mean...
And it's only 2 games, though.
Yeah, I don't think you can dismiss the Rams. I mean, they're a really, really good team. You know, and Pat had a line there. No, Miami, you brought up Miami, and he right away he said, nah, Tua. Well, I got to say, if you're another team looking at the Eagles, and you say they're 2-0, and there's probably a lot of people, and Pat might be included in this. Nah, Hurts.
No, there are.
I mean, you can't say, it's almost like you can't say that about Miami without saying the same thing about Hurts.
But I can't look at the Rams after 2 weeks and say that they're, remember, you're not taking in past accomplishment. You're just looking at their body.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stafford's elbow issue.
I think it's a problem.
Is a problem. I mean, just off two games, he looks like he lost a little something.
And they almost lost to the Falcons and on their home field, and I believe that there is a chance that the Falcons could get the number one pick. They may be the 32nd team in the NFL, and they could have lost at home to them.
Yeah.
There's definitely a one-and-one hangover, though.
Yeah, I do, because I've seen it a bunch. There's definitely a one-and-one team out there that's probably better than them.
I think Green Bay is the one that I would think.
Like, if the Eagles play a full-strength Chargers team, I'm probably going to pick the Chargers. I'll tell you what, even though they're coming off a terrible loss, Baltimore. Yeah, they look... Lamar Jackson looks like he's on a mission.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's horrible that
paid.
They get...
Well, yeah, it's a good mission to be on.
Mission to get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that may be the best mission of all.
Yeah, him and Aaron Judge. Damn, both of them.
Lamar Jackson does so many things that I think we have to look at and say, okay, that there every quarterback doesn't have to be Brady, Mahomes, Herbert. Even like just because no. even though
you just
he,
want one of those
even
top
though,
10
even
or
though he has
guys.
A lot more Mahomes in him,
Lamar's you know, the top. Sort of, he's probably Lamar. Like you know 9-10 in the league, yeah. Probably maybe even higher because the dude's got an MVP.
When plays break down, he's dangerous as hell,
terrifying.
I think he's actually more dangerous when plays break down,
and he's got a strong arm.
You know, he's got a great arm.
Yeah,
you guys are talking yourselves into a little Lamar Jackson in Philly.
No, I think Lamar Jackson has a Vic. Arm quality to him.
Yeah, he's got that.
I think Michael threw more effortlessly.
I honestly don't think I've ever seen a quarterback that threw a ball as far and as effortlessly as Michael Vick.
Michael had a tight spiral.
Like, unbelievable. It was a flick of the wrist. I mean, you can just go back and watch that DeSean Jackson play against Washington every time. I mean, he barely winds up. It was just an arm and a wrist, and it was gone.
Dan Reeves stopping him in his rookie year. Players, the veterans on the Falcons, wanted to see up at Furman, wanted to see Michael Vick throw the ball from his own end zone and see how far he could throw it on the fly. And Dan Reeves literally lost, like almost blew a gasket. You want him to blow out his elbow? You want it? Because he was throwing the ball as far as I've ever seen a human being throw a ball down.
Could he hit it the other end zone?
He got stopped. He got stopped before.
But he was getting close.
It was unbelievable. Like he was just and all the veterans were laughing. And Mike's a rookie, so they're making him do stuff.
Sure.
You know, instead of taping him to goalposts, they're making Mike and Dan Reeves literally lost his
I would have too
mind. You want him to blow out his elbow because
I'm tied to this kid. Back off.
He had an incredible arm. Oh my gosh. Hey, Martin Law is Philly's original law firm for injured workers. If Mike had gotten injured, he might have called Martin Law. Schedule a free consultation today at paworkinjury.com. I think Lamar Jackson gets a lot of disrespect. Like
to me,
he may be one of the best players that doesn't get proper respect.
No,
I don't think he's. Again, I don't think he's.
I don't think he's just a mobile quarterback.
No, I think there's more to it.
I mean, his year he won the MVP, threw like 37 touchdowns to like 6 interceptions or something.
Yeah. I still think he's too antsy in the pocket.
I got to be honest.
Yeah.
So I've been daydreaming a little bit about Lamar Jackson in Eagles uniform.
Really?
Yeah, with the free agency, and you don't know what you have in Hurts.
Well, the Eagles apparently are on his short list.
Yeah, his ability to maneuver the cap and find space. And
why wouldn't they, though?
They have cap space now, and they haven't spent it, which is interesting.
Why wouldn't they just, though, franchise tag him?
He said he won't do it.
He's gonna sit out. I'd say, yeah, I'll test you on that.
Yeah,
so you're gonna pass on $50-60 million. I'll test you on that.
Yeah, I saw the other day him saying he's let the team know I'm just not gonna do it, whether it was in good faith, whatever. I don't know, but he said he doesn't want to do that. No,
I don't think he wants to do it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he might but not have to say, but
they could say, hey, Lamar, yeah, okay, you're gonna pass on 55. I think someone said he can make $50 million.
Well, it's the average of the top five,
top three, right, top five.
I think it's top five.
So he probably make $50 million.
No, because right now it's Wilson, Rodgers, and Mahomes, and I think they're all at like 42 to 44.
Okay.
So you're probably talking like 39, 40.
Okay, because you throw in the next two.
Yeah,
down.
Probably around 40.
So around 40.
I mean, it's not bad. I'll take
He'll
that.
Be all right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
hey,
it's okay.
RJ's in Philly. RJ, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are y'all doing?
Great to hear from you, man. What's going on?
I need to know the floor and the ceiling for this Eagles team right now.
The floor, I always thought was 10 wins.
10 wins.
That's the floor.
Okay. I agree with that.
I think that the ceiling, I would probably say, would be
playing for a Super Bowl.
I picked 12-5, so I guess the ceiling to me would then be 13, because I don't pick the ceiling. I never pick the ceiling when I'm trying to predict for a season.
Okay. The reason why I asked 13, Bob?
I think 13 is a good ceiling. Yeah, I mean, I picked 12 wins also. And if you want me to go down the...
No, it's all right. List. You already so changed week two.
One win.
You changed week two. So
yeah, 13's a good ceiling. Yeah.
I think 13's probably it, because they're going to lose. They're going to lose.
Because they have to rest their starters, so they're going to lose those.
Oh, is that what it's going to be, Pat?
Yeah.
Oh. There we go. So, RJ, okay, you're feeling pretty... What, is that yours or what?
No, I'm... See, this is a problem with me. You know, it's so early. I don't know what to make sense of them. I mean, it's the Eagles, so you never really know. Everything's a little mercurial right now.
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand. You doubt them? I'm more interested in your floor number than your ceiling number, honestly.
Okay. My floor right now is 8.
8?
8.
You think this team could lose 9 of its last 15 games?
Feel me for like 10 seconds. The pass rush.
No, 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 no. I want you to tell me the 9 losses.
The 9 losses?
Yeah, there's 9. There's 15 games left. I want you to tell me 9 teams they could lose to down the line.
He wants you to do W and L for the last 9.
You tell me you're not going to find 9 losses.
I'm given one of the Giants games.
Okay, that's 8.
And one of the Cowboy games.
Okay, that's 7.
Yes.
What about, you giving one of the Washington games?
Yes.
Okay, that's 6. All right, so now we wipe that out. So they're losing at Arizona, I'm assuming you'd say.
How'd you know?
Okay, no, no, no. So are they losing it? Are they losing in Indianapolis? Are they losing at Chicago? You got to find 9 losses. Hello. There's not 9 losses on this schedule.
They're losing to the Packers.
Okay, they could lose to the Packers. I'd absolutely see that. No questions asked.
And I have them tying the Colts.
Yeah, well,
that's a good one. Tie. He got you, John. He wanted the W's and L's, and you fell for it. Way to go, RJ.
That's as dumb as it goes.
Good job, buddy.
W's and L's for
9 losses, please.
And you finished with a tie. You got played.
You got played big time. He got W and L's on you.
That's
Robert Jr. That was my son.
The reason you don't play W's and L's is because what you get is what you get what Bob's already done. He already changed week 2 into a season. He changed from saying it was a win to a loss. In a matter of a week.
Yeah.
That's why you can't do wins and losses.
You can do it. Yeah, and people like to do it. People like to hear it and they like to do it.
And then you back off what you think.
Oh my gosh, you change your mind. Oh my, can you imagine that? Changing your mind on something?
You're right. You're right.
Crazy.
Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob did the rewatch.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
All right, off the top of your heads right now, best throw that Jalen Hurts made on Monday night?
Quez Watkins.
The touchdown.
Yes.
All right. No, that was easy.
It was easy.
I think the best throw was actually a dropped pass. To Goddard. To Goddard.
I know
he was dropped
teams,
in
right?
Triple coverage at the only point Goddard could get it.
Yep.
I thought it was
beautiful.
You mean
the one where his lower back was in danger and...
Yeah, it was kind of a high ball.
Dumb.
Yeah, he jumped for it, triple team, put it right where it had to. The announcers went crazy over
it. I thought
it
was a beautiful pass.
And they called it his best throw of the night at that point.
Yeah.
Pat, what about you?
That was a good one. So mine was, he rolled out to his left,
and he hit Devontae Smith for like a 25-yard gain, and it was because you literally see him go through his progressions, and then he hits Devontae, who was his third option at that time. So the fact that he went through his progressions and then he was rolling to his left, I think that was his best throw.
He had a look-away pass where he looked one way, came back the other to Goddard. He had a pass that he threw completely off of his right foot, his back foot, that was perfectly placed. His best pass of the night to me, and Pat, it's similar to yours.
Was it the Quez Watkins out of bounds play?
Where it was called back because of a hold.
Threw off his right foot going to his left.
So he went to
his
left.
Best, you think?
Oh, my God.
It was pretty impressive.
If you watch the breakdown of this game, and it's weird because I kept rewinding it last night or yesterday afternoon, and then Orlovsky went on and had a piece on Twitter about it. So his first two reads was somebody breaking in low, and I think it was Devontae Smith, and then breaking out to the outside was Dallas Goedert a little deeper. They were both covered. First two reads. He had a third read where somebody was coming across the field, and it was Watkins. And the rush came up. He stepped to his left, which
he was
we
rolling
know,
to his left,
rolling
yeah.
to his left, and then switched his body around like a hop switch,
and threw off his right foot,
and got his hips square and threw a dart 32 yards. Watkins caught it and had to drag his second foot in. That's how close to the sideline he was, and he didn't have a ton of separation. It was one of those throws. I'm telling you, if you guys go back and watch the game, and you
exactly
see it on Twitter,
what you're talking about.
Look at it over and over again. It's remarkable. Now, look, you can say, oh, it's one throw. Look how many bad throws.
No, but
no question about it.
Plenty of throws. We all just named four different throws.
That's totally my point in this. The things that he threw the other night were really, really good and diverse.
He was perfect.
You guys said though, these very complicated, great jobs that he did. I saw him have the patience to wait and see something develop.
Yeah.
That he noticed that there was a breakdown in the secondary, and he found Quez Watkins. Last year, that play doesn't happen.
No, it was his third read.
He panics, he moves, that's why I considered that the best.
Yeah.
Because I saw development as a quarterback. And he took the time.
And like we talked about it before, he can practice with a Tom House or whatever doing footwork in a pocket, stepping into throws, yada, yada, yada. That's all fine. You really can't simulate pocket presence at all during an off season. You just can't. You can't get a bunch of high school kids in front of you and say, come after. Like, it just doesn't happen. I think as this year goes on, that's what I'm keeping an eye on. How's his pocket presence? What's it like? You're going to face a quarterback next week in Carson Wentz, and I was reading some stories all about him yesterday.
Jimmy Kemsky did a great thread on Twitter about his lack of pocket awareness.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
It's bad.
And I really do think it's the biggest progression for Jalen Hurts moving forward.
Oh, it's the biggest key for any quarterback taking that next step is how do you navigate a pocket?
Yeah, and he was terrific on Monday night.
He was damn near perfect. I don't even think terrific sums it up.
Probably not.
I mean, it was almost a flawless performance.
Yeah, I mean, I heard some people saying that solidifies it. He's your franchise quarterback.
No, that's ridiculous.
You can't do that after one game. But I can see some of the things that he showed could make people lean towards, wow, if he keeps doing that.
I mean, it's making me lean towards, I could be wrong.
I would tell you that I believe Carson Wentz had three or four of those games in his 2017 season.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, in 2017.
Tua had one on Sunday. Are people in Miami going, oh, that's it, you got to give him.
But remember, though, Tua didn't have it early on Sunday.
No, he put up 28 points in the fourth quarter.
I mean, it took him digging out of a hole where he wasn't effective. Hurts was just spectacular. I saw that.
Started 11 for 11.
I saw that three or four times from Wentz in 2017. And not one of us now would say that Wentz is your idea of a franchise quarterback.
No, not at all. No.
So anything can happen. No, the injury may play into that.
Yeah.
We don't know how much played into it.
To me, and I've said it before, it's amazing watching him play the quarterback position after that knee injury and before. It's almost like it's two different people.
Jalen Hurts is worth a rewatch.
Oh, it's really cool. I watched that opening drive. So when I got home from the pregame show, it was midway through the first quarter. You get to the end of the first half, and then I go back and watch that first drive. I was like, wow. And I watched it again. And then yesterday I watched it like three or four times. He was really good.
That first drive, and I believe it was Aikman says, that's as beautiful a first drive as any quarterback could start with.
And there was just I'm not saying this to take away from, but the game plan was perfect too. Like everybody was open. Like it wasn't a lot of forced tight window throws in the beginning.
Why? Balance.
Well, no, I just think it was that defense. It was like that defense. It was like playing the Eagles defense last year.
Troy Aikman mentions it at least 10 times. They've got the defense out of balance because they don't know if they're running or throwing. And Steichen set it up where they threw out of some run formations. They ran out of throwing formations. They kept them dancing all night long.
I just don't think you can play zone consistently and win.
No.
You have to mix it up. You have to make the quarterback think.
All right, I saved something that Jamie wanted to talk about because we got to give it some more time. Jamie would like a blood oath to be taken. We'll see if everybody's on board. And no, it's not for Pat to say, let's go Mets. Stick around. It's the Jockey K Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I know that the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app is everything you could possibly want in a digital casino and sportsbook. And I want you to join in right now because I know it's going to come around this weekend. You got college football. You got pro football. It is going to be awesome. Every single week you want to get in on this exciting birds run and see if you can capitalize. New users can make their first bet risk-free up to $750 when you use the promo code Kincaid. Should you lose, and I don't think you're going to because you seem pretty smart, your risk-free bet will be refunded to you in site credit. I love it because sometimes you want to get in early during the week on a line because you think it's going to make a big move later in the week. How you feeling about the birds this weekend? Well, odds, slots, bets, games all come together right there in your pocket with the Bet Parks app. You got to download it today. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Should you have a gambling problem, I implore you to please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jockey K Show on The Fanatic in our 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by the all-new Bet Parks app. It's a sportsbook and casino and one sleek, easy-to-use app in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. $750 risk-free bets there for you. Use the promo code Kincaid. I had warned you that if you wanted to bet the Eagles, the Bet Parks app opened it at 4. Before the Monday night game. So on Monday morning, I was saying, if you want to bet the Eagles for the Washington game, it was 4. Now it's 6.5. The money's pouring in left and right on the Eagles to just stampede over the Washington Commanders. I don't like the number now. I don't like 6.5. Not in a short week, not in a divisional game, and a lot of Washington games tend to be far scarier, even when they seem lopsided, tend to be far scarier than they usually are.
Counterpoint, we own FedEx Field.
So you like 6.5. That's a big number.
My gut prior to the Vikings game was they're going to destroy the Washington Commanders this weekend.
So you had a good feeling about that game.
Yeah, before the Vikings. Now I feel probably even better about it. Yeah. I mean, you feel better about it. Yeah, I don't know about the spread per se, but I do think they're going to win somewhat handedly. Their strength is Jahan Dotson,
right.
Curtis Samuel, and Terry McLaurin. That's nasty. One of our strengths is Darius Slay, James Bradbury, Avante Maddox, and hopefully Gardner Johnson. So our strength meets their strength. Everything else is, I think, an advantage to the Eagles.
I'll tell you what, another thing, you just mentioned a name here. Avante Maddox played really well on Monday night.
He's a really good slot cornerback.
He really played well.
His interception coming off of his man.
That was a hell of a catch.
Great play there. Maybe it was last week, talking about what a big hitter he is. If he's getting that reputation around the league, good.
I mean, as his rookie year playing safety, I mean,
yeah,
he threw his body around. Remember that hit in Green Bay that was scary?
Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he almost got killed.
Yeah, I mean, he's fearless.
I don't laugh at that.
On the rewatch.
Seemed like he did.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson, though? There are a few... He's lost.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple times that he's
and
running places
that you
in
warned about. Playing a new position, new team.
Yeah, I mean, look...
Like, I mean, there's a learning curve.
It could all come into play, and I hope to God it does, and I do. I love the attitude, everybody... My only point at the time was everybody was anointing him this, you know, oh, this is awesome for this team. I said, I don't know, because I hadn't watched him play a whole bunch. My whole thing was, don't just go off of an attitude. The guy's got to learn a system. The guy's got to be able to play a system at a position he really hasn't played in the NFL.
Spin zone, he's better than Anthony Harris.
Yes.
I hear you.
No, that's not a spin.
Yeah.
He's better, but he appears lost two games and he appears pretty lost.
Yeah, I think it'll normalize.
I didn't want to give this a short shift because we sort of ran out of time on this.
Is that a hockey term for me?
Yeah, a little bit. But there was a... Jamie was talking about blood oaths that he would like the show to take. And I really got to hear more about this one.
Yeah, I'm curious now after two games. I said prior to the season I was going to use these first five games as a litmus test to...
You did say that.
The Sirianni camp narrative of, oh, they don't tackle, they're soft. You know, you listen to any old school football guy and it's outrageous. It's preposterous what they're doing in camp. I'm ready to say it's absolutely right and I'll sign in blood right now that I'll never complain about a soft camp ever again. I wonder... Who's going to join
you? Well, you said
first, I will join you.
Pat!
See you there.
You're coming with me.
Okay, they're...
Soy boys in arms.
They're Woo! Tackling...
He's a Mets fan, Pat.
They're tackling... Their missed tackles still having them in is still a problem.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not fine. Don't say it's fine.
Their penalties are a problem, again, to start the year.
Not
they're
worried
sloppy.
About it.
They're sloppy.
The refs were sabotaging them on Monday. Next.
The refs are out to get the
film. Yeah, big. The refs were in love with the illegal man downfield.
Yeah, I mean, out to get
what a nerd call that is.
They were in love with that call.
They really were. Like, outrageous.
But why do you think that is?
Because it's a nerd call, and they're nerds.
I think Skeletor just had a fascination with it during that game. I mean, I said it yesterday. You never hear that during an NFL game. It's like man in the crease. It's just a rule that just gets ignored, and yet you heard it for both sides. That dude can kick rocks.
You know why?
Sirianni was pissed.
He's
not pissed off of legitimate penalty calls.
That's not a legit penalty. Every single one of them.
A half inch over the line, like downfield. Get out of here.
Every single one of them was legit.
Okay. Yeah, just like there's a holding call on every single play in the NFL. If you want to call something, you can call it.
Why do you think they're focusing on the Eagles and doing it?
Because they're nerds.
Because they did it all last year.
Eagles.
Correct, because they did it all last year.
They're narcs.
And they're like, this is something the Eagles are doing.
Not worried about it.
Trying to garner an advantage, and they did it all last year, and they haven't fixed it yet.
It's fine. There was a play, though, that they replayed, and the announcers were even like, oh.
And he said it was cheap.
It was the offensive pass interference.
Oh, the offensive. Yeah, I was in the car for that one. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Devontae Smith, known offensive pass interference guy. But
that was though?
No.
Nah. I didn't, from what I heard, the announcers say no.
With your arm.
I mean, I saw a pass interference on. Do you ever like somebody goes in your family goes to walk past you and you kind of put your arm on their back or like you open a door for them, you just put your arm on their back to kind of guide them, you know, a nice thing. I swear to God, I saw that as pass interference last week when the Eagles were playing the Lions. It was like a linebacker's going back, somebody cut in front of him in the middle, and he kind of like just touched his shoulder so that he could stay where he was.
Yeah.
Throwing a flag. Like there
it's
has
September for the rest too.
And you have to remember it is football.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got to stop
penalty
looking
on every single play if you look for it.
The one narrative I'm not buying into, though, is, well, they're out to get the Eagles.
No, I'm kidding.
But I mean, seriously.
But they're
The Eagles are doing something that the refs, when they do their film study during the week, they're being alerted to. The Eagles are doing this more than any other team. Watch it. And then they had to call it on Minnesota.
Yeah, every September, some team does something that the league's like, oh, we got to get this under control, so call it.
Exactly.
And it's nerve stuff.
How did they say it?
Is that how they say it?
No, remember the month where they spent the entire month calling, lowering your head to initiate contact?
It's
amazing how that's still a rule, yet it's gone ignored. Yeah.
That seemed like it went all the way till Halloween.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it went.
Goodell and his little nerd committee up there picked their one or two things that they really want to hammer down in September.
But you know, though, it's not him.
Well, it's his rules committee.
It's his rules committee. Rich McKay, president of the Falcons. It used to be the old coach of the mustache, always 8-8. Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher never was off that committee.
Yeah.
It would always be like the group, and then they would get together. And I swear, there are times that as a committee, it's okay if you don't come up with a new rule.
Yeah.
And to me, that's one.
Over litigated.
We lived in a community that had a strict HOA. And we had a guy who ran for president who said in our neighborhood, any rule that we want to make in the neighborhood, we have to take a rule away. And it was amazing how the rules stopped being made. Because once he said, oh, yeah, okay, well, if we make a new rule, we got to take away an old rule that we realize, yeah, this rule's stupid. And the rules stopped being made. They just stopped with new rules.
Yeah, they did this in the NBA, and I assume they do it in the NFL. Referees will meet with teams, like next week when the Sixers start practice, they'll have referees in multiple times. And they have something, and they'll talk to the media about it also. I was in these meetings a lot where they have something called a point of interest, and they'll have a film, and they'll show a play. They'll say, well, you see here where a guy is picking up his dribble, and he's taking 3 steps back. We're going to start, that's a point of emphasis now. We're telling players that they can't do a 3-step with the ball in their hand. It has to be back down to 2. Point of emphasis, and you'll see it and see it and see it. First, like you said, John,
right.
It went up until Halloween. What they're trying to do is get the guys, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, to get used to playing within the rules. Then once they feel like they're used to playing within the rules,
ease up.
Then they ease up. Because the whole thing about reffing is, yes, you're calling penalties, but you want the players to know how they can play. You know, like if I go out on a court and I have one ref that every time I touch a guy with my left hand, and he calls it, and he's like, look, that's a hand check. I'm going to call it every time. But other guys don't, or he doesn't call it all the time. You just don't know how you're supposed to play.
Yes, five of the penalties that were called Monday come November aren't going to be getting called.
Right. So it's kind of are the Eagles being smart in doing it because they know it's not going to be called down the road? They don't want to change themselves because they don't want to get into bad habits of it not working. So it's like that cat and mouse game. And eventually it all evens out, I think.
I think it will all even out in the end. But
ready to sign?
No. Yes. No, absolutely not.
Go pound sand. How about you, Bob?
Ready to sign?
Yeah, blood oath at the camp, the soft ass camp, can never be complained about again.
No.
You're my Huckleberry.
That's it. Soy Boy Army. Woo! Right here.
Okay,
so
now
Pop Nation.
Okay, mm-hmm. I think you can get him to say it now.
Let's go, Mets, Pat.
Not a chance.
Say so you're not. The Soy Boys aren't united.
Damn, a house divided cannot stand.
You do want the Brewers to lose today, though.
Let's move on to the...
it's unbelievable.
Wait, just say you want the Brewers to lose.
He's just going to dig in and say, I'd be happy if the Brewers win.
I'm going to dig in.
He'd be happy if the Brewers win.
Me and Pat will never complain about a soft training camp ever again.
You guys have taken the blood oath.
Yeah, I'm in.
They remember.
I'm in.
Take advantage. Hey, take advantage of Ashley's end of summer sale, by the way. Take an extra 15% off Ashley's already low reduced prices, plus 24 months no interest financing this week in Pottstown, Warminster, Bensalem, and Maple Shade.
What up, Ashley?
You need something?
I mean, always. My wife's always.
I got a good friend at the Ashley and Maple Shade.
Well, that's it. That's a good hookup.
Big listener of the show.
That's even better.
Yeah, shout out Ashley.
A furniture connection's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it seems like in furniture you almost always need something.
Yeah. We're all relatively in new houses.
Yeah.
One of the scariest when I get home and I see the tape measure out, I'm always like,
oh, really?
What are you up to?
See, now I had that yesterday.
Yeah.
She's already looking at the new patio.
Looking for a swing.
Going, what are we going to do
swing?
What's going to be on the outside? What's going to go on the outside patio? Because,
I like those rocking bench Johns, like the two-seater that swing.
What are we like?
Hold on 1 second. Donna, did you hear how Jamie used John? That's how you use it correctly. Good job.
It's like 110.
I'm still trying to teach her.
No. Like, I would look more for, like, I'd rather have a table where I could go out and have something to drink, watch, work on my computer.
You got to get the outside TV going.
Things like that. No. Yeah. Olivia wants it on the screen and porch. I said, you don't live here anymore.
Yeah.
And she was like, I do live here.
Yeah. The outside TV
You live priceless. You live down at Temple.
Yeah.
This is
through the outside TV. Watching Phillies games outside, watching
yeah,
early
season.
Yeah,
but I don't want to watch them outside. If I do something outside, it'll be what you did.
The portable?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be permanent outside.
I want the permanent. I want the outside fireplace with the permanent TV.
No,
That's the dream.
I don't even want the new...
Jared Nice comes over to my house to do the job on
that's what
I'm constructing.
I want the portable fire pit.
Yeah, those are nice.
I do not want the built-in fire pit.
I got the solo stove. Can't recommend it enough.
Excellent.
Oh, it's awesome.
Okay, good. All right, in the linchpin, we're skipping that one because it goes back to what you were just
the blood oath had him screwed up. He's thinking so much about it.
Twice. The same thing was listed twice.
Let's do it again.
No, we're not doing it. Maybe I'll convince you this time. We just did it. What I'm going to do is what I should have done, go back to what I missed.
Oh, my other narrative. Oh, it's not the same thing.
I should
have brought this up in the show meeting. The other narrative, I want to die. I was big on the narratives dying last night.
Yes.
Can we shut up about Frank Reich being the genius behind Doug Peterson now?
Yes.
Doug Peterson.
I never believed it.
I always thought it was a huge insult to Doug that Frank Reich was the true genius of the Eagles back then and this and that. Frank Reich has a more talented team right now than the Jacksonville Jaguars in all likelihood. Jacksonville's young and
He's had a more talented team since he's been in Indy.
And Doug just whooped his ass.
Yeah, again. I mean, it's clear it was John DeFilippo who was a real genius.
Clearly. So can we just let the Frank... nothing against Frank. I like Frank.
Yeah.
Can we let that narrative die that he was the true genius of this Eagles offense?
I don't think there are any geniuses. I think it was a good group.
No, they mollywopped people that year. There was some genius going on in that building.
I don't hate Doug Peterson. What he did. I don't think he's a genius of a head.
I think
he's a good coach, though.
He's okay.
Well, no, when I say the genius, it was just like the brains, I should say.
I think they had like the perfect mold in there. Whatever it was it DeFilippo, Reich, Peterson? I really do think it all came together. Look, that to me was just a lightning year, and everything came together perfectly.
I've been told that the thing with Doug, where Doug's genius may lie, is the fact that Doug never ever, when he got to the big chair, acted like he didn't have to listen to other people anymore. Like he took other people's opinions into account and helped them craft the message, helped them teach, helped them he hired people and he let them do what they were hired to do. That may be his genius because... X's and O's. He wasn't going to out-strategize people.
Being a genius can be doing the simple things right.
Simplicity.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people in this world overcomplicate everything. Sometimes simplicity is the right way.
Sure. And his relationship, Peterson's, with his players was huge.
Absolutely.
He was just really, really good at that.
But we remember, like, when that offense was putting up 45 on Denver and just blowing teams out, it was like, well, Frank Reich is the genius behind the play designs. And it's pretty offensive to Doug because Doug kind of... If you want to admit it or not, he kind of changed course of the NFL.
Well,
it was a 50.
The problem is there were so many people that were anti-Doug that were refusing to admit that he could do anything right. So he was lucking into everything. And if it wasn't that, it was a supporting cast. Like they were just there were too many people that were.
He never got full credit.
They weren't willing to give Doug Peterson credit because they were so staunch that Doug was a bumbling idiot.
Well, I heard people though saying that Doug brought the 2-point conversion into the NFL. Mike Tomlin has always been
He didn't bring it in, but he ramped up its usage.
He did, but Mike Tomlin was the guy that was using it when almost nobody else was. He would use it sometimes on an opening kickoff. They go up 6-0, and he'd go for two.
Yeah, I love
just
it.
I'm not chasing points. When I'm in the lead, I'm not chasing points.
Well, stop thinking about it negatively. Go get that 2 points.
But
then it changes the game in your favor the entire course of the game.
Or it doesn't.
But you're going to get it.
Over
50% of the time, you're going to get it, so then you have another chance to make up for it. If you're going to get it 50% of the time, it's like 52%, then you're eventually going to make up for it.
But getting 1 point...
That's nerd stuff.
Yeah, but you're going to get that like 95% of the time.
I don't care.
So, I mean, it doesn't...
I want any advantage I can on my team.
If you told me that it's... The other night, when it was 13-0, they tried to go for two, I'd feel completely different about it than 6-0.
But here's like...
When it's 6-0, I want the point. When it's 13-0, I may say, you know what? Let's really put the screws to him and go for it.
It's a conservative risk.
Made it 16-0, let's say you make it 17-0, on a tight town. I may think about it.
The big thing I think he did in terms of changing kind of the NFL landscape is the fourth down relative to your field position. That's now the standard.
Yeah.
And Doug was kind of at the forefront of, why would we punt here when it's a net gain of 17 yards? I'd rather take my chances with the 38% that we're going to pick up a fourth and three relative to your field position. I think that changed mostly because of Doug, honestly, in his analytics department.
Can I, the whole thought of Doug Peterson watching Doug down in Jacksonville, and they were celebrating him yesterday on NFL Live and the shows.
Trevor Lawrence looks legit again.
And Trevor Lawrence tells me he feels comfortable. He says, I feel comfortable. But no, from the time he walks in the building to the time he leaves at night, they were asking him, like, what's the difference playing for Coach Peterson?
But, part of simplicity is Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
He says, I feel comfortable. I feel like I can come to work, get done my work, leave. He's less cluttered. Doug has made it a more simple approach. Now, I want to see Jacksonville. Look, everybody's happy after a big win over the Colts.
Sure.
I want to see them go out and win. Under Doug, I want to see them go win six games this year.
Yeah, I'd love to see
them. Go win
Doug.
Six. And then I'll really believe that maybe the culture's changed and the...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get worse than it was last year with Urban Meyer.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you go into a really good spot there because you haven't a franchise quarterback. They're as low as you can go. Look, if Doug Peterson...
Intelligence.
I don't hate Doug Peterson. I'm not, I'm getting stuff here, but...
Why?
Like,
You've never hated Doug Peterson.
No, I don't hate Doug Peterson. I just think when all is said and done, he's going to be a 500 coach in the league. Okay, if he can rebuild I shouldn't say rebuild because Trevor Lawrence isn't broken down. But if he can get the most out of Trevor Lawrence.
Get him on the right track.
No,
that makes me happy for Trevor Lawrence.
If he sometime, Bob, can get Jacksonville into the postseason. To me, that would be enough.
Oh, that would be.
He gets them in as a wild card. He gets them.
Oh, that's a grand slam.
That's a grand slam.
Yeah,
then he's done. Then he's done his job. I don't think it has to be. He goes and wins a championship in Jacksonville. I do believe one thing though. They got the franchise type quarterback, young gun arm in Trevor Lawrence. He creates that fun atmosphere that people like to play for, and they're in Florida with no state tax. In the NBA.
Christian Kirk went there.
Those no state tax things work for in the NBA more than any sport. I think the NBA is the most savvy money guys that are out there.
Yeah, they are.
They're savvy. They're smart. When you build a good franchise in, like, Miami has Miami. Jacksonville, going to the beach in Jacksonville isn't going to be, South Beach.
No.
It's completely different. But you build a nice atmosphere with nice weather and no taxes and everything like that.
And you're getting Haagen-Dazs after practice. I mean, who doesn't want to? Pat would sign up for that.
Pat, you'd be.
Yeah, I think that's a big plus.
You'd work for less if Coach started bringing in ice cream. You'd work for less.
Yeah, like we have these like post show meetings and these like Tuesday meetings and whatnot. And then it's
what if Chuck said, "Go grab some Haagen-Dazs." Yeah, it's on me.
I look at Chuck and he kind of's like, "What's up?" I don't know, jackass. Where's the ice cream at?
You want an ice cream?
Where's the Haagen-Dazs? Where's the Benegas? I'll take like the Bobo brand at this point.
Yeah.
And he just looks at
what would be the Bobo brand because my daughter, by the way, paid.
The signature select Acme, whatever that is.
My daughter at the outlets the other day paid $64 for Bobos.
For Bobo what?
Converse, black Converse sneakers.
And your daughter got ripped off.
Which are Bobos.
Yeah,
which are now.
Hey, Converses or Bobo? No, Converse is fine.
That was Bobo sneakers. That is what the Bobo. You used to get Converse in the bin. Go and get the bin of shoes and just have to check for your size. Now it's the hot shoe.
Yeah.
Those are the cheapest shoes you could ever make.
Champion's back, and that used to be like the affordable, cheap sweats.
Champion was trash.
No, Pat, they're $64.
Yeah.
Everything's overpriced these days.
At the outlets.
In this economy.
At the Philadelphia outlets.
In this economy? That's a bargain.
Chuck Taylor's. Can't beat them.
I heard the other night. The economy's great. I'm confused. I don't even know where I'm living anymore. Hey, Jalen Hurts and the coaching staff may be coming along together. We'll get to that next. It's John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I know this. In this economy, you're looking to save cash. And if your house needs new windows, why don't you get two free for every two that you buy? And more importantly, Window Nation says, why don't you pay nothing until 2025? We got this. We're going to give you the product. We're going to install it with expert installers. We got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, so you know you can trust us. But we're not going to make you pay anything till 2025. I question the business model, but you know what? They keep churning it out. Pay nothing with no interest, no payments until 2025. You know what you don't question with Window Nation? The quality. The quality of the installers with over 16 plus years of experience. You don't check the savings that you're going to get on your heating and cooling bills for the next 2 years while you're paying nothing. Window Nation's got it covered for you. Every style, every color, every size you could need. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Then call them for this amazing deal. Call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We have our Know the Show question coming up today around 9:45. Your chance to win Phillies tickets. Tickets to see the Phillies take on the Braves this Friday. Last chance to catch the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. They're trying to make a final push for a playoff spot. For tickets, go to Phillies.com. And so you'll have a chance to get to know the show. We'll have some winners coming up today at 9:45 on the show. Major announcement about Fan Fest coming up at 8. Your chance to qualify for our trip to Arizona coming up at 8. My gosh. We are trying to cram 10 pounds of stuff into a 5-pound bag today.
Like Oprah.
It's unbelievable.
I'm used to doing that.
You get a gift and you get a gift. Yeah, I noticed you wandered into another. You took it off this morning. And then other people were trying to invade your bathroom space, Bob. You didn't like your bathroom space being invaded this
morning. Who does? Just peed and everybody came running. Hey, what are you doing? What's going on? It's like, oh, all right.
Who did that to you?
Connor had some words to say.
He talked to you in the bathroom?
Were you kind of shouted and ran and
stuff.
Oh,
that's not
good. No, I wasn't.
Oh, good. That's good.
He shouted and ran?
Yeah.
Hey, hi, Bob. I'm pooping, too.
Yeah, so he opened up the door and he yelled at you. And then
kind of weird.
Oh, boy.
He's a weird dude. He's going to drive through 11 states or something this weekend, he thinks, in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And get a meal on every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Get a meal. Wait, in 11? He's going to have 11 different meals?
As we all know, Connor has these visions of grandeur that often are just impossible to meet.
I love the wide-eyed optimism.
So do I. Youthful naivete.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it, Jamie.
So Connor doesn't care about the Eagles game this weekend?
Apparently it's secondary to checking some states off.
That makes no sense.
He's a weird guy. Maybe he'll watch the game in one of these states, and that's what he does.
Some people are footballsmen, you know, and some people are statesmen.
He's not going to have a meal in 11 states and stop and watch the Eagles game completely.
No, I think it's only 6 states.
Financially, yeah. I mean, you're not going
to
be able to do it.
When you have a chance to have Long John Silver's in Tennessee, you can't just let that go by the wayside for Eagles versus Washington.
It could be.
I mean, they play twice a year.
Are they still around?
Well, they are in Tennessee.
So yeah, I saw a thing.
I don't know. I didn't remember seeing them in the South.
I don't know if this was a joke Barstool put out, but they put out a list the other day, and it was the top 10 websites that are made purchases from. And number one was Amazon. Number two was OnlyFans. LongJohnSilvers.com was like number 6.
I didn't realize they still had them.
I didn't either.
What was the place where you used to be able to get the... It was a fish place.
Arthur Treacher's Fish.
Taco Bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife worked at Arthur Treacher's.
I used to be one of the cherry
them. They used to have fish and chips, and then they would have the chicken and chips.
Yeah.
And the chicken would be in this really thin, crispy batter. If there was an Arthur Treacher's, I honestly never even heard of it. I would knife somebody to have Arthur Treacher's chicken.
It wasn't bad.
There is one remaining location.
Where?
According to Wikipedia.
In the whole country?
Eaglesville.
I will find out.
Stone's throw from Exton. Hey, I like Jalen Hurts. I think the coaching staff of the Eagles seems to be coming along slowly. Monday night was this like revelation. It's almost like someone took the blinders off, and all of a sudden Jalen Hurts saw the game at a certain speed and a certain awareness that was just unbelievable. He was spectacular, and everybody far and wide's talking about it. But to me, I wondered where had that been? But it happened. Every time I see a new wrinkle now, and especially something as so dramatic as what we saw on Monday night, I wonder what takes the coaching staff so long. Now, I'm not saying this coaching staff is bad. In fact, I really enjoy the coaching staff's, I think they have a good, they seem to have a good energy. They've made a great connection with the veterans. I don't know the coaching staff, so I'm not talking from a position of knowledge of saying, well, firsthand, I know that this coach is great and this coach isn't. I'm just saying overall, I like the vibe, but it does make me wonder, it's like, why didn't you play more of that now? Why are you trying stuff now? Like, what takes them long to try stuff? And I know it's only game 2.
Well, I think mostly what you're looking at is the talent that they have to coach. You know, Jalen Hurts last year, we saw what he was. He goes into a playoff game and he has a defensive coordinator screaming that he can't read defenses. So what can you do with that? Against better teams, not much. Against less superior teams, his athleticism won. First game against Detroit, you look at it and you say, his athleticism won you the game. At least I said that, and I think a lot of you guys agreed. We all said it, yeah. Then they played against a familiar defense on Monday. That was the Eagles' defense from a year ago. I mean, you could have changed colors of the uniforms, and we would have recognized it. It was a soft zone that allowed a lot of things in front of you, and miscommunication led to a touchdown, a long touchdown, by Quez Watkins. I think it's just a progression of familiarity, of, yes, getting better, confidence, and talent.
I understand with the approach, defensively, and I realize this tells me this, is that Jonathan Gannon didn't have the talent. Because the answer seems to be, even from the Eagles insiders that follow the team, that write about the team and talk about it, is, well, now they can do all these things because they've got the talent. Well, but all the criticism went Jonathan Gannon's way last year, where now I've got people who even cover the Eagles that are saying, well, the Eagles now have the talent to be able to do these kind of things, to play this kind of style. So I'm like, okay, well, that's the reason they didn't play it last year, yet Gannon was criticized for not playing it.
Yeah, whenever I criticized him, I said, you know, granted, this is with the grain of salt of the defense sucked from a personnel standpoint for the most part last year. There's a reason there's a bunch of new starters on the team. Because they were weak. They have the most money invested now in the NFL on defense.
So doesn't it tell you, though, that last year Gannon played to the strength of the talent that he had?
Probably, or the safest way he viewed not getting torched every play. I think he just wanted to keep everything in front of him and would take his chances with 1,000 paper cuts rather than, you know, a hammer to the
temple. And I'm not excusing it that he should have always tried that way, but it appears now that as I read the Eagles coverage here in town, people are like, well, Jonathan Gannon now has weapons to use, so he's deploying them, and he's playing a style that plays to their strengths.
Well, let's see him versus the top 10.
Because he's got the talent.
Let's see him versus the top 10 quarterback before we declare anything. I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins is probably like 15th, and that's great. You beat him. Jared Goff is probably like 22nd, 23rd. Okay, great. Let's see what happens when you face off against an Aaron Rodgers, you know, any one of those upper echelon guys. We'll have a better picture then.
And look, let's not forget what happened in week one. He was bringing pressure in the first half. Defense looked good. He again went back to that prevent defense in the second half against Detroit. And they scored 14 points and you make it a 3-point game and things get dicey. So, like, yeah, did they look good the other night? Absolutely. Were they more aggressive than we've seen before? Sure. Did he bring blitzes at the right time? Yes, he had a good game. He didn't have a good game at all against Detroit, I don't think. And he totally went against what was working for him. Exactly. Like, he did something well in the first half and then changed it up and allowed a team to come back. I mean, that's not good.
Pat, you found the last Arthur Treacher's?
Yeah, it is in Cuyahoga. Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. So this is how a telltale sign of a podunk town. So this is the last remaining Arthur Treacher's. And in 2021, the mayor of Cuyahoga Falls named June, I think, 21st Arthur Treacher's Day. So they had a full day commemorating a fast food restaurant.
That
is
all right.
That is a good sign right there.
Wait a minute. Can we get Connor to go there and get us
a day? So if you get a day named after you, it's podunk?
No, I think it's podunk when you're naming a day after a fish and chip stand.
Why do I know Cuyahoga Falls, though? They're known for something.
That rattled right off of your tongue.
Outside of just being a funny name, they're known for something, aren't they?
They're known for Arthur Treacher's Day.
Cuyahoga Falls?
Familiar.
If only there was a website that you could go to.
Coach, if there was something you could do, like a Bing, coaches, right now.
Like, head to 97.5 Fanatic and type in Cuyahoga Falls.
There's a national park there. I mean, the falls are probably beautiful.
Yeah.
You could fall anywhere. I mean, at this point, I don't think there's any.
There has to be a movie reference there,
we'll
James.
Research. There has to be something.
Hey, maybe the Cuyahoga River, I'm thinking. And
somebody in their car right now is screaming at the top
of
the
river. You know what they're famous for.
Maybe LeBron vacation there one time because it's near Akron.
Dolls. Isn't that 12?
You know, remember Step by Step, the wooden roller coaster? And it's the largest in the country.
Step by Step, day by day, yeah. Same set of cards.
Is that Cuyahoga Falls?
No.
That was like somewhere out there.
No, that was that Magic. I don't know. They might
be known for Mike Vrabel. He's from Niagara Falls.
Really? Now I'm going to have that step by step song, the longest
day by day,
longest theme song ever. I think in television history.
Was it really?
I think it was almost.
You would know that.
I think it was a minute.
Yeah,
40,
right.
I think it was a minute 45.
I loved it. TGIF, baby.
With Patrick
Coach
Duffy.
Knows stuff.
Jeez.
Coach.
All right. People live here, right?
Cuyahoga Falls?
Yeah. According to the History Channel here, it's a major transportation route area.
Callahan Auto Parts.
Birthplace for oil, rubber, and the modern steel industry.
Yeah,
and
it's a pretty famous town.
It's also a famous, I'm not making this up, a famous dumping place.
A dumping place?
Springfield Tire Fire? Yeah. That's the fifth water for Jamie.
By the way,
it's got the famous tire fire that started in 1969.
I knew it was a famous town. It's not a podunk town. It's from,
and two, Tommy Boy.
Yeah, Tommy Boy, so, Callahan Auto Parts.
And Cousin Ryan checking in with that one, too. By the way, the step-by-step theme song was 1 minute and 53 seconds.
Wow.
I liked it.
It was a half-hour show.
It was a banger.
The one sister was
song still hits. Oh yeah,
Stacey Keenan.
Yeah,
is that her? Yeah,
she was the girl from not Two and a Half Men. My Two Dads. She was the daughter on My Two Dads.
I don't remember that.
Remember My Two Dads?
Three Men and a Baby.
Greg Evigan, and the guy Paul Reiser.
I know Paul Reiser.
Did you ever go yes. out, or was it just soap operas and sitcoms all day long?
I can remember every single one. Now, TGIF, though, I do not know, because the TGIF shows I hate.
Oh, what a loser.
TGIF was awesome.
Stand them.
That was pizza night in TGIF? That was living as like a 10-year-old.
In your generation, that was. That's not what was
the Winslow's.
When your parents weren't going to take you to Blockbuster, your Blockbuster was TGIF.
It was TGIF.
And then Saturday was NBA right Inside
That's
Stuff.
Right. Woo! 2 liter of Mountain Dew. Pizza
How could you
Hut, TGIF?
Think of this though. You're pitching a network show, and you're saying it's a half hour show. So there's going to be, I think, 6 minutes of commercials or 5 minutes of commercials.
Yeah, it's about 24 minutes.
Okay. We're going to take of the 24 minutes of the show, 2 minutes is going to be the theme song.
Yeah, but it's a banger.
It was a great opening.
Yeah.
And it was a banger.
No, it wasn't.
Right.
It was CGI.
No, they showed Suzanne Somers smiling.
They were on that
roller coaster. You sound like an idiot right now.
Yeah. They were CGI.
Turn off his mic, Pat.
They were not really being filmed on that roller coaster.
How many years has this bothered you?
CGI. It's the longest. The fact
the
that it's the longest.
Issue. I know, right?
What kind of CGI technology do you think they had in 1993?
They insert
about
the,
this. They
they're
did.
Not real. When they're waving on that roller coaster, they're not really on it.
Oh, they're on it.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
I feel like I'm on a roller coaster right now that's just stuck.
And Bob, again, I will ask you. Bob just looked at me and said, how long has this bothered you? Like you've just met me. Like you've met me for the first time today.
My Friday nights when I was a kid, I'm not kidding you, there was a grammar school near my house, Clara Barton, that would open the gym on Friday nights, and the rims were only 8 feet tall. And they would let anybody and everybody go in there and shoot around and stuff like that.
Is that the one where you broke in with the nun?
No, that was my school, Queen of Heaven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Queen of Heaven.
And that was like the greatest thing on Friday night. You could go somewhere where there was 8 foot rims and you felt like Julius Erne and you could jump up and almost touch the rim.
And they would let you in indoor hoops.
They would have like two teachers there and they would be like, we would be all over that place, spilling all over the court. Like, that's my biggest memory of a Friday night growing up. Yeah.
They never would open up.
Beers and sex and starting fires with your boys.
Kid.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm talking a little kid.
You were a man at a young age, Bob.
Barton Elementary.
Hey, Temple football battles UMass this Saturday at 2 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field, and all kids in 8th grade and younger can score a touchdown on the field after the game as part of the Parent-Child Touchdown Toss Day. Kids tickets are only $10. Visit alstix.com. And honestly, if you're 8th grade or younger, you could probably score a touchdown on UMass.
Yeah.
You probably could.
By the way, Cousin Ryan's wrong. It's Sandusky, Ohio, is Callahan Tommy Boy.
Really?
But Cuyahoga Falls was maybe like on their route or something.
Well,
now you're just grasping at straws.
Now, too, is that my cousin Michelle, her brother lived there.
It's a famous town. Yeah.
Not because of Michelle's.
It's not a podunk town.
Brother lived. It sounds podunk.
Nah.
It's a famous town.
By the way,
we couldn't find anything but Mike Vrabel being from there.
No, it's a big industrial town.
The idea of the day, I laugh because the governor, we twice had Buck and Kincaid days in the state of Georgia. So I said, it's like always like, I'm like, what's that plaque that was that uneventful in the state that they named days? I said, every day was somebody's day. You know, they were always naming this teacher taught for 50 years. So yeah, they had the proclamation. So the Arthur Treacher's
now
day.
Now I want an Arthur Treacher's.
I want Arthur Treacher's right now.
Let's do a live broadcast of the Arthur Treacher's.
Get Carter to run out and see if he can have it back by tomorrow.
He can check off Ohio that way.
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
Maybe Carter Boy.
Oh, could, on his ride.
Could go on his ride. Stop by and get Arthur Treacher's and bring it back. I'm sure it'd be fresh.
Well, he can't leave until the band's done playing, right?
No, they're not allowed. I'm not sure you're allowed.
Yeah, the band. And
Peter and Stan just tell him what to do, and then he dances.
Yeah.
I said, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's very, very similar. I say to Pat, do you want to go to a tailgate out in the park? No, I don't want to go. Don't want to go. Peter and Stan say, you want to go like to see 50 states? Yes, he does.
Yeah, like, and we'll get people to pay for it and everything.
What can I do?
Sure.
Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob wants to know if you find anything beneficial about this.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
And I'm not looking down on this at all. And, you know, I kind of want to make it an interesting question because I have a background story on it. But we saw the other night James Harden getting the ball from Darius Slay. We saw Bryce Harper was there. A bunch of Phillies were there. Just a bunch of athletes from Philadelphia, you know, from the other Philadelphia teams at the Eagles game the other night. Now, years ago, when Brett Brown was first hired and Joel Embiid was just about to play his first season and Ben Simmons was here as a young player, Brett Brown made it a thing on a Sunday that after practice, like they told me the day before, we're cutting practice a little bit short on Sunday, so get there early, because he wanted to take as many players as he could over to Eagles game.
It's like stand on the sidelines.
So I said, that's cool. You got a lot of Eagles, or got a lot of football fans among these guys. He said, that doesn't matter. I'm doing it as a teaching lesson. I want these guys to see, they're going through the process at the time, obviously, what it's like to have this fan base behind them and how it can be for them if they get to a spot where the Eagles are. Now, you're talking about a team at the time that hadn't won a Super Bowl yet, but we know how beloved the Eagles are in this town. Not sure if it worked. I mean, Embiid was part of it. Probably the only guy remaining on this team that was a part of that. Do you think there's some beneficial things that can be had by going? Well, I don't know. Has Joel Embiid benefited from it? I don't know.
Yes, I do, because I think Joel Embiid learned lessons from that. I think he learned lessons of how to connect with this fan base. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I mean, he learned lessons. Joel Embiid is a master at winning over this fan base and connecting with them. So Brett Brown probably played a little part in that by that lesson of, look how everything the Eagles do in this town. The Eagles break wind. It leads the 5 o'clock news. I watched the 5 o'clock news. I think Sherry has actually led
wind?
With that one
no,
time.
No, it was Dan Orlovsky.
I think they've led with it. I mean, like, Christina can't get over when you're watching the 5 o'clock news on Monday.
Eagles.
And the we're down at the link. It's the lead stories, Monday Night Football. She's like, that would never happen in some other cities. So I think Brett Brown taught his guys a valuable lesson. Connect with a fan base. Get them behind you.
Yeah. Could
create
be.
The goodwill.
Could be. I wonder if they're just young kids that go, yeah, I want to, what young kid doesn't want to go to a game? I don't know. Maybe there is something to it. Maybe a James Harden does get something out of sitting there and seeing success
well,
and looking around the stadium. Yeah.
You know, they're looking at it from a different angle. So, yeah, I think there's definitely something to learn. I mean, Bryson Stott was in a box the other night with, you know, a bunch of the Phillies, and the section below them is looking up at them going, let's go Phillies. Like, that. There's no negatives that come from that.
Yeah, but it's funny. John makes a great point. Somebody just put it on what my next point was on the YouTube channel. John makes a great point. Yeah, Joel Embiid did learn from it. He learned how to engage. What happened to Ben Simmons? Where was that? Where did that? Now, we can talk about the person, but
you
how
have
did
to
that?
Have it in, you have to have it in you. You
yeah,
have to
I
have
guess.
The ability. Is there's
you have
guys,
to want too.
Bob, there's I watch our show when there's a happy hour, and I've talked about this with other people around. Thing when we have a happy hour, how many people we
Thursday
will talk to tomorrow
in
Haddonfield? How many people in that bar we will stop, start a conversation with, talk to, say hello, have a conversation? There's people in our business who can't do that, who can't walk into a bar or have conversation with people they don't know.
You
they're just
like
uncomfortable
be
with
a
it.
Normal person?
Yeah, well, there are, though. There are people who can't do that, and I think Ben Simmons is one of those people. He just can't. He can tell everybody how great his life is on Instagram, but when you actually force him to try to have an interaction with a human being, he can't do it because it's not on a screen. He's not able to do that. And Brett Brown, that is a valuable lesson. That's an incredible lesson.
I thought it was really cool that all those athletes were there, and that I think it was Bryson Stott got recognized, and a "Let's Go Phillies" chant broke out from where he was sitting.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
There's nothing. Yeah, there's.
Why did we just say that?
I'm sorry. No, the thing is with Stott,
no, it's great. You get to be a spectator. They get to see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, it is cool. I don't think there's any negative. Obviously, I just was wondering more so if they could glean something from it. Hopefully, they can.
Yeah, play hard.
Yeah, look what happens. Look how much you can be loved. Forget about anything else, yeah.
And don't turn on us. You saw the Jalen Reagor moves the other night.
Do Eagles fans know who and what Jason Kelce's about? Yeah.
Yeah.
The city. Do people know what Lane Johnson's about in this city?
Yeah, can I think so, yeah.
Do people know what Jalen Hurts? They're getting to know what Jalen Hurts is about.
Yeah.
And can I go to the city? Tell me who the Phillies guys that they know. And don't tell me, he wears Fanatic shoes.
I mean, Bryce a little bit. He's the most out there.
Yeah, but he's not out there.
But he's the most out there of the Phillies.
No, he's out there on social media. He's not out there.
Yeah, but like when people were, when he was doing his rehab, he was down in Stone Harbor, and he was taking pictures with people out in the streets. He was going into Wawa. Like, he's the most out there of the Phillies.
But that team is so...
Well, baseball players kind of suck.
I got to tell you, in my experience, they're the worst of the four athletes. I saw differently. I saw differently for two decades.
Well, not up here.
Because the organization demanded it.
Well,
the organization demanded that their players be out, demanded that their players be accountable in front of microphones.
Well, it's also easy to be accountable when you're winning so much. You know,
but it's also a culture that you build.
And look, baseball, we'll talk about the Phillies not drawing people. Are you guys kind of amazed? And somebody said it last night on a national show, and I was like, wow, that's the truth. You know, what is going on with Aaron Judge is historical.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
And you have to kind of search for, hit number 60 last night? Oh.
Baseball sucks at marketing. I didn't realize he was at 6. I thought he was at 58 still.
It could be directly related to what's going on here in Philadelphia. Like, you're not getting anybody at games with a team that's in a playoff hunt.
We will have Pat's takes coming up in the second half of the show.
Cousin Ryan is correct. Michelle's brother in Tommy Boy lives in Cuyahoga Falls.
Oh, so it's not his mama, Michelle.
Yeah, so they mention it.
Oh.
So,
because I was going to say, I can't see Michelle.
Yeah.
My cousin Michelle.
I think it's Michelle and Tommy Boy, right? Tommy's love
interest. I think it is, yes.
Yeah, so Cuyahoga Falls is mentioned. So it's a very famous, bustling, historic town.
All right, we're going to give you a chance to go to Arizona with us. We're going to have a major announcement on FanFest. We're going to have Adam Schefter. We're going to have Pat's takes. There's so much going on. I don't even know why you would turn the dial during the 8 o'clock hour. So stick around. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I know that the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, I gave it to you on Monday. I said if you thought you wanted to bet the Eagles game, bet it on Monday because the Parks Sportsbook had it before the Eagles had even played the Vikings. The line was 4. Now the line today is 6.5. You may want to tease it. I don't do teasers. But you can do any kind of bet that you want. You can be betting over-unders and teasers and all kinds of combinations. Those multiple team parlays. They have college football every Saturday on the Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Where on college football, you're getting 33% odds boosts on 3-leg parlays. It's absolutely awesome. And new users can make their first bet risk-free up to $750, which is absolutely amazing. All in one amazing app, the Bet Parks app. I like betting on individual player performances. I've actually won more bets doing that during football season this year than I have on actual games. Get the Bet Parks app today. Download it. BetParks.com. You got to be in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, and you got to be 21 years old. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
John Kincaid's show on The Fanatic, our 8 o'clock hours, brought to you by our friends at Martin Law. They are the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. We appreciate you being a part of the show. It's been a busy day. We've gotten into some side conversations and such. Had some good times today. Interesting things. Got a lot of things we haven't gotten to yet. We will get to Pat's takes. We will have Adam Schefter joining us in around 6 minutes or so. And Jamie, you look like you're thoroughly enjoying a burger.
Very much so. I just destroyed a burger.
You destroyed it. From where?
We had a happy accident happen for us, courtesy of our man Bill in sales.
What's up, Bill?
It's the Burger Brawl is coming up. So they're getting some sampling brought in. And this is from Wolf Burger at 2301 South Front Street.
So you ate Wolf?
Well, it's a Wolf Street is the cross street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a normal burger. Barbecue bacon ranch burger, ranch dressing, onion rings, bacon, Cooper cheese, and barbecue sauce.
Well, the Cooper cheese, you and I both
I
are
love
high.
Cooper. Yeah.
Oh, big fans.
It
Cooper
was
Sharp's awesome.
Really good. Down there by like South Bowl, kind of, not far from where
Sounds
I used
good.
To live. So it was a good time. Nice surprise.
The Cooper Sharp.
I love the Cooper Sharp.
But
Angela's still puts that in their cheesesteak. I think it's the best cheesesteak cheese.
I found places where where you can't get the Cooper Sharp.
Yeah, it's not 100%.
Is it that hard to find?
No.
Well, you can't go to a hardware store and get it, John.
Your hardware store doesn't have cheese?
You mean Lowe's doesn't have it?
No.
Home Depot doesn't have it?
You got to shop
that's
around.
That's incredible.
I'm a True Value man.
There we go. Well,
they probably have some cheese around.
We will have a Know Your Show question today at 9:45. You may want to take note of that. We also have an announcement today. And my friends at the AACR are part of it. The Fanatic and the AACR are excited to announce that Eagles quarterback Avante Maddox has been added to FanFest 2022.
Sweet.
Wait a minute. The only thing missing is Bradbury at this point. I mean, seriously. We got Monday Night Football playmakers. Thanks to the AACR, Avante Maddox will also be at FanFest 2022.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
There you go. And for a chance to win a special VIP experience and a meet and greet with Avante Maddox and Darius Slay, here's what you need to do. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Make a donation of $9.75 or more. And everybody who donates $9.75 or more is going to be entered to win this one-of-a-kind VIP experience. You're hanging out with Slay. You're hanging out with Avante Maddox. It's a great FanFest experience, courtesy of the AACR, because cancer research saves lives. Your donation of $9.75 or more must be in by September 29th in order to be eligible for this VIP experience.
That's awesome.
Hang with Slay, hang with Avante Maddox, and I would tell you that people aren't going to hang with them too easily. I mean, I would say that there were some wide receivers who get a lot of pub that couldn't hang with them the other night. You're going to be able to hang with them. By the way, getting crushed in Minnesota. Getting crushed.
Well, they got crushed on the
Kirk
field.
Kirk Cousins was getting crushed. Justin Jefferson was getting crushed.
He's
being a whiner and that they're getting on him about the calls. Like he's looking for a call when he doesn't get his way. I'm like,
love to see
it.
They're
turning on their guys. One bad game and they're turning. You're turning on. If you're turning on Justin Jefferson, you're a dope.
Oh, I can't imagine that happening in any city. We don't turn on people here.
No, we're not reactionary.
You're a dope if you're getting on Justin Jefferson about that game.
Yeah, the cool thing is about Avante Maddox being there. So he used to be a guest on this show before you came.
Great
John.
Dude.
Not this show, but the morning show before you came. Great, great guy. Personable.
I've heard that.
Funny, funny stories about living with Dallas Goddard.
Maybe if he forgets the carpool.
They do.
If they don't carpool that day and forget
maybe
to drive
Goddard's
on his own.
Maybe Goddard's just
coming
right in. Yeah.
Maybe Goddard's on his back. And then we get both.
So many people see on social media how cool Slay is. And his wife also. And his wife was at our tailgate last year in...
Where were we? Tampa.
We were in Tampa.
Yeah.
She did another giveaway after Monday Night Football with Slay jerseys and helmets. It's very cool. They get it.
They're a great team.
I'm not going to speak for Mrs. Slay, but I just will say to everybody coming to FanFest, it wouldn't surprise me if she's there with her husband.
No, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
No. So, you got to come out to FanFest. It's going to be so much fun.
They enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing.
She's an interesting Twitter follow. It's cool to watch.
Now
Darius is playing great.
Jamie, let's be honest.
I mean, there was a pool picture
that
she put up.
There's not one you're following Mrs. Slay.
It's just it's a nice secondary thing.
I only followed her after I met her in Tampa just to be a nice, you know.
Just to be nice, right.
An
That's all
for
it
the
was.
Station
supporter.
And all. Like, yeah. I don't know.
And Devontae Smith's family hung out with us
they
in
were
Tampa.
Awesome.
They knew where to be.
It's a very likable Eagles group.
They were the one sports radio station that was actually there with the Eagles. We're not the flagship, but we actually were there with them in the postseason.
There's nobody I dislike on the Eagles, and that's it. I know it doesn't count for much, W's and L's and all, but that's an enjoyable thing to like your whole team.
Again, though, Bob, it's one of the things that we talked about a little bit earlier. I believe it is the Eagles culture where it is not an option. The Eagles players being involved in the community, the Eagles players being out and about, being accessible to the fan base, I don't believe it's an option. And I think that that's something where the Phillies have to learn the lesson. You have to be accessible to your public.
I hope that some of the it doesn't seem to me that the likes of Jason Kelce and Darius Slay and others on that team are forced. You know, I think they like Kelce. Obviously, he's over the top
does.
And how
he
good he
does.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, the Eagles have done a great, great job through the years of identifying with their fan base. And the thing they do with autism is just phenomenal. And they get it. I mean, they get it. And
they most certainly do.
You look around leagues, I don't care what the league is, there are some that just get it better than others.
And obviously, just as we're going to be getting ready for Adam Schefter to join us here, I want to remind you that the Phillies' magic number is 12 going into today's action. And we say a giant collective, let's go Mets.
Yes.
This afternoon.
Taiwan Walker, my man. Let's do it in unison. Let's go Mets. Come on, Pat.
Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
Pat won't do it, even though we need the Mets to help us back into the postseason, because the Phillies can't do it on their own.
Not against good teams, anyway.
No, and there's a lot of good teams in front of them.
Yeah.
So they're going to need the Mets to help them. And they're going.
I think I saw if they go 8-7, Milwaukee would have to go 10-4. Is that correct?
Yeah, Milwaukee could do that.
8-7 would take the Phillies to 88 wins. That's exactly what I predicted.
And they could do that. Coach will get the ledger out.
But 8-7 is obtainable. Can Milwaukee go 10-4?
Is 8-7 attainable?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Last five games.
If they can't, they should be in the playoffs.
Pat, just go on. Last five games of this homestand. How many are they winning? Two.
I think they win tonight. Two or three.
So three.
I'll go three.
I'll go three.
Wow.
I'm going to go two.
I think two is fair. With what I've seen lately.
And then we're going to sweat our asses off.
Of course.
Because the Brewers end the season with 9 at home. And the Phillies will go on the road after the Braves series and play on the road.
And never come home. Because if they get in the playoffs, their first three games are on the road. If they win that series, then they have to go away for the next series. Like, the Phillies are going to have to pack for a month away.
I mean, it's
that's sounds silly, but that's a long time.
That is. That's a really long time.
Mm.
John Brightcliffe, by the way, our qualifier this morning.
Hey, ready to go, John. It's Fireman John.
So Fireman John could be coming to Arizona with us.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if a wildfire broke out, well, not in the desert.
John's son, Eddie, has autism. Bob and him have talked about it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So in the desert, there won't be a wildfire.
No, you get haboobs out there. That's what you got to look out for. It's the haboobs.
The dust storms.
I'm married, Bob.
Those haboobs are serious.
I saw some pictures.
You don't want to be in the middle of it.
Those are the only boobs you don't want to be in the middle of, huh, Bob?
It can hurt your eyes, those haboobs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not...
Boobs is just a funny word. I mean, come on.
Haboobs is funny.
I mean, really,
we can't have that.
But the root of it is boobs.
Haboobs.
Yeah.
The root.
The root of the fun.
Imagine being you're a high school teacher, or a grammar school teacher, and you're doing vocabulary, and your word is haboob. It comes from the root word, boob. You have one of your kids say that.
Can you, Matt, seriously?
I got kicked out of a class for a math problem one time with blue and...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got sent to the counselor.
Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. And Adam Schefter joins us. Courtesy of our friends at Landis Block, where you can create your very own jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, Adam, I'm going to say the better Monday Night Football game was the one that was here in Philadelphia on Monday night. Even though both of those teams that won Monday night looked great, All anyone's talking about is Jalen Hurts and that Eagles defense.
Well, it was a great night for Philadelphia football, right? I mean, that was the type of performance that you're looking for. They came through. They played great. It's really the kind of performance that when you finish watching the game, you say to yourself, why can't this team go to the Super Bowl? Like, why can't this team do that? I mean, I got Eagles fans texting me yesterday. You know, how about the Eagles? They look great. Yeah, they look like they could be as good and as tough as anybody in football in that game.
If they play that way,
it's got a chance to be a great season.
Sounded like Dan Orlovsky was riding with you there for a minute.
No. I am outside, and there's construction right there.
Okay? Well, when you're outside, you're allowed to just let it be free, Adam. I mean, it's not at this point.
I got it. But
okay.
I didn't go Dano on you.
That's always good. Look, when you saw the Eagles' defense Monday night, did it surprise you the way that they dominated that Minnesota offense?
No, I think I was more surprised at the way that the Eagles defense played in the opener. Like, you're talking to a guy who rosters the Eagles defense in fantasy. So I had high hopes for them. I thought that they would be really good this year. And they played more like I expected them to play on Monday night than they did in the opener. I mean, that's the kind of Eagles defense that I think that they are and can be, what we saw on Monday night.
Shefty, as a national guy and seeing what Jalen Hurts did on Monday night, yeah. What does it make you think of? Do you think of, like, how could people be against it, or how could people not think this is the guy? Do you think this could be more of an anomaly, or are you more impressed that this might be a guy moving forward that could be this town's franchise quarterback?
Well, you know, first of all, I think he's just improving and growing as a quarterback, like many players do. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little time. And right now, he's playing exceptionally well. Like, he looks like the kind of quarterback that you'd hope to use all that draft capital on. Like, we talk about them getting a quarterback. Well, wouldn't you want your quarterback to make the plays that he's been making for the first couple of weeks of the season? That's the kind of guy that he's been so far.
Yeah, he was perfect on Monday night. Adam, one of the areas, you know, with the loss of Derek Barnett that probably took a hit to the team's depth is defensive end. I know Jason Pierre-Paul was visiting the Ravens yesterday. Do you think there's any kick of the tires there in Philadelphia with him?
There hasn't been to date. There hasn't been, and he's been out there for a little while. So my guess is no. Now, look, his name gets out there. Maybe that inspires them, but I mean, they know who's out there and who's not, and they hadn't expressed any interest in him. So if they expressed interest now, it would seem to be just because, well, Baltimore brought him in, and that doesn't seem like an Eagles kind of thing to have happen here. So I'm going to guess no.
When you see the landscape of the NFC, you got people buzzing this morning with the whole chatter is why couldn't they be Super Bowl? You've seen Tampa, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're really good.
I don't, other than Tampa, is there a team in the NFC where you say, man, they're really dangerous? Because I got to tell you, the Rams, to me, look like something's a little off.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, and you're not the first person to say that to me. I've had a couple of other people say the same thing to me. But, you know, here's the thing. We're 2 weeks in. There's 15 more games to go for everybody. So, I don't know who it's going to be. But in week 12 or 13, somebody in the NFC is going to get hot, and somebody's going to fall off. And just because the Eagles are 2-0, I'm not trying to contradict myself, but it doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl. It just means, look, they look like they have a potent team with a lot of potential. This looks like it could be a team that is very competitive and has a chance, which is all you want right now, a chance to have an extended run. Now, who's going to be there with them? It's hard to say Tampa will be there with them because Tampa is really good. What other teams are going to emerge? I don't know. I'll say this. The 49ers, once Jimmy Garoppolo takes over, to me, they're back to being where they were last year. And last year, they went to the NFC Championship game.
And Tom may get called on another vacation. So, I mean, Tampa, you can't count. I mean, if Giselle says we're going on vacation, Tom's got to go.
Well, I mean, you never know, right? Like that could happen.
I don't know. I mean, you can never tell.
Shefty, good or bad? I know it's 2 weeks. You can't even get it really trends after 2 weeks. But good or bad, what has surprised you so far in this NFL season, or maybe something that you say you have to keep an eye on further as things play out?
Well, there are some teams that you look at that have been much better than you would have thought. And the teams that come to mind right away, like Miami, they look like they have been really good. And I said this in my podcast this week, but we've spent a lot of time, when we talk about quarterbacks, we compare Tua to Justin Herbert. And let me say this, is Justin Herbert is an unbelievable quarterback, and I think he's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. He's tremendous. Okay, but if we're going to compare quarterbacks, and Tua and he have been compared an awful lot, Justin Herbert as a starter, 16-18. That's his record as a starting quarterback. Tua as a starter is 15-8. So, you know, winning is the most important thing always with these quarterbacks. And Tua has won. Tua has won. And now he's playing with maybe the two fastest receivers in the league. I mean, it's wild, the talent that he has at that spot. So, to me, Miami's a big surprise. You look at Cincinnati, went to the Super Bowl last year, 0-2 this year. And Joe Burrow is getting abused. You say, what's going on there? So that's a little bit of a concern. I think there are a lot of teams that have been bad for a while that just look better. The Jets look better coming off that win. The Jaguars look better. Even the Texans look better. Like perennial doormats look better. And then there are some teams out there that we've seen that just don't look right. And we'll see if that holds up over time.
Adam, last week I asked you about the parameters of the Jalen Reagor trade. You said you were going to do some sniffing around.
Yeah,
any?
Yeah.
Anything?
I did do sniffing around. I made that request. Someone was going to get back to me, and someone never did.
Wow, that's terrible.
I'm only as good as the people that that help you out. In that particular case, I didn't get the help I was looking for.
It's under wraps, huh?
All right. So well,
I'm sure it's some type of catch or perform, like a 5 or a 4. Either way, they got, you know, that's what they got for the guy.
Yeah.
Not much either way.
All right, before I let you get out of here, at what point do we stop saying it's 2 games? It's 3 games. It's 4 games. At what body? What body of work's needed to be able to say what you see with your eyes in an NFL season is believable?
I'm ready to say that right now with the Philadelphia Eagles, that what I see is believable, that the team they put together will be one of the best in the NFC. I'm not ready to say who that's going to be.
Right, exactly.
I'm not ready to say who I've seen enough from them to know that they're going to have a team that is in contention all year long, that has a lot of high moments. There'll be some down times. And if they stay healthy, because that's always key, right?
Yes.
If they stay healthy, they're going to make a run.
Sounds good to us.
Where that run ends and how far it goes, I don't know. We'll see, right? That's the enjoyable part of the season.
We'll talk to you after they visit Carson Wentz down in Washington with around 1,200 of our closest friends.
Yeah, so down on a bus trip. What do we think of this one?
I think it's going to be much tighter than people expect. Eagles are going to win, but I think it'll be a tight game.
I mean, what is the point spread in that game?
6.5 now.
Philly by 6.5?
It opened at 4.
That's exactly what I would have guessed it would have been, 3 or 4, to be honest.
6.5.
6.5 seems like a lot to me on the road.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same way. Adam, have a great week.
Guys, take care.
Thanks, Chef.
Adam Schefter joined us. Thanks to our friends at Landis Block and Concrete. Boy, he's got to make Eagles fans feel great this morning.
He's laying down some money on Washington right now.
Hey, create your very own jaw-dropping backyard paradise like we've got going on right now at our house. Visit LandisBC.com. Jared and the boys... Tony Marzano, our construction manager, handling it all. Landis Block doing a great, great job. Check it on out. They help bring you Adam every single week. We'll have Pat's Takes coming your way, which is always a fun, little frivolous moment. And what can you carry forward from last week? We'll get to it all coming up. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Got to tell you right now, listen up. If you're heading to FanFest, and everybody should be, You're going to want to know what's going on. I can tell you it's a lot, so you don't want to miss a thing. Download the Let's Rally app, R-A-L-L-I-E. Download it to your phone. You have to have the Let's Rally app for push notifications all day while you're at FanFest. And our friends from Mitchell and Ness, they stopped by yesterday morning. You know the Eagles tickets were given away, courtesy of them, are going to only be given through the Let's Rally app. So you got to download it. You're going to know when all the players arrive. You're going to know where to be to meet who and meet and greet whoever you're trying to catch up with. Sign up for cool prizes and be part of all things FanFest right in the palm of your hand. And when FanFest is over, it's going to be your like party guide all over the city of Philadelphia for exciting things to do. Your phone tells you when something cool's happening when you have the Let's Rally app. So download it. Let's Rally, R-A-L-L-I-E app right now and unthink your day.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Want to remind you, you can take advantage of Ashley's end of summer sale. If you're not like Bob Cooney where you got like the hookups, you can take an extra 15% off Ashley's already low reduced prices. Plus 24 months no interest financing. This week in Pottstown, Warminster, Bensalem, and Maple Shade. Great folks at Ashley.
My man Mike is a manager there.
They got a lot of great...
Big sports fan. He has a lot of Eagles and Sixers that come in there, I'm sorry, to Maple Shade to get some furniture there.
Got some furniture. Got some furniture for when I had the apartment. And it was fantastic. Had a fantastic experience. So make sure you check it on out. They've got some great, great deals for you. Remember, today in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll play Know the Show. You can win a pair of Phillies Braves tickets for Friday night. As the Phillies will try to lower their magic number today from 12. It's a dirty dozen today. So we first get a big Mets victory this afternoon.
Yeah, they could go on the field tonight with it being 11 because
and then
of
maybe,
your Mets.
And then maybe they cannot give up 11 plus tonight.
Try not to.
They come on out.
Wheels back.
The Phillies' ineptitude in the first time through the order offensively is almost epic. I mean, how bad it is right now. They literally are just, they're choking.
A night when JT Realmuto goes 5 for 5 and you get some production, it's just like, it's just lifeless. I can't help but look at the top of the order. I might harp on it too much. I don't think I do either. But this was my concern going into the season, and now it's kind of burying its head at the worst time. I believe in a traditional leadoff hitter. I think getting speed and pressure on the base pass is a good thing because it makes the pitcher think. And
no, some analytics nerd handed them a spreadsheet and said, no.
You can get Kyle Schwarber.
We can do this.
14 more at bats.
And mine says 1.7% more if he get.
It's ridiculous.
You
now.
Want pressure
it's
on
not
the pitcher.
Working. It doesn't work.
Like there's a reason it existed in baseball for 100 years because it makes the pitcher change his approach. I mean, Bob brought it up the other day. How Aaron Nola is with a guy off base compared to on base is night and day. And he's not alone. I mean, you want the pitcher. It's like defense in the NFL. You want to show different fronts so you get the quarterback thinking. If they're thinking for even an extra half a second on any given play, that's an advantage. And it's the same thing with the leadoff hitter. If you get on base and you possess some speed or a threat to make something happen, it makes the pitcher think. It makes their approach change. That's just the new school baseball thing I'll never get.
By the way, Ryan, Pat, something we talked about the other day, mm-hmm. Ryan sent along an email because he had seen the same story I did about the analytics and how non-baseball people are working in analytics departments. And one of the things that Ryan points out, he goes, John, you may have missed it during the show, that the people doing analytics in NFL front offices, that over 40% of them played college football.
That's cool.
So they're hiring people who actually understand X's and O's,
yeah.
Not people who are just numbers experts.
I've heard former players turned analysts that are horrible, and I wonder, man, did you even watch the games? That's fine. I mean, you know, if you played the game, if you didn't, whatever.
No, I just think that it is something that is a benefit to you because it's an added benefit to understanding what numbers actually mean.
Yeah,
like, we're going to reinvent the game.
I will tell you, I will point to any video of Teddy Bruschi breaking down football.
You don't like Teddy?
Teddy's trash. Yeah, Teddy's a horrible analyst. and he's stealing money from ESPN.
So a guy,
there's like no in between with
Pat. As our most quote former players turned analysts, most of them are stealing
money. But if some guy who never played any football at all, they of course know much more than Teddy Bruschi.
I'm not saying that some guy. I'm saying that there's a possibility. There is a crazy world where, yes.
There could be a possibility. I don't think they're ever going to know. They can't talk about it from...
They've also now been hit in the head multiple times and probably are going to suffer from CTE, you know? There's something to be said for that.
That's a really...
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen... I don't remember seeing Greg Popovich on a basketball court.
No.
Like, I mean, there are guys that know the game really, really well without having maybe played it at high levels.
Greg Popovich coached the game, though. At every single level. The NFL front offices, when they're employing people in analytics, that around 40-some% of them here, Ryan saying the number, I didn't see it when I paid attention, are ex-college football players. They played at some level.
Yeah.
Baseball tends to be guys who never played anything in their analytics departments. I think there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. You know who played college baseball? Matt Klentak.
He did?
And
yeah.
He didn't even run Dartmouth.
He played at Dartmouth?
Second baseman. And he was horrible.
There it is. It's proven point.
But he knew
you're right.
The game.
Yeah. You're right. Proven point. That Boom. Does. You're
I
right.
Have one example.
You're right. That proves the point.
Dang. One,
example,
and
one nothing bad.
It really does. That proves
Roast
the point.
Him, Jamie.
It's,
he's done.
It's hard.
God is it.
He asks me to defend Matt Klentak.
John Kikasia. No, it's the Pat Egan show.
Seriously,
now.
Man.
Hey,
I'm
wait.
Okay. Owned.
Matt Klentak signed Zach Wheeler.
Hey,
Bryce Harper.
Good point. Hey, Huntington Valley Bank's fast-growing, best bank for your business, celebrating 150 years as a top contender in local banking. What is transferable from Monday night's game plan to Sunday's game plan?
Oh, I think it's simple as can be. Make the quarterback uncomfortable. Do what they did to Kirk Cousins. Somebody put out, I forget who it was, when the Eagles blitzed, he was 0-for-6. Zero coverage blitz. So, you know, it's basically man-to-man, bring everybody else. No extra help back there. We know what Carson Wentz is. We know it firsthand. He has horrible pocket presence. Get him out of that pocket. Get him moving from the pocket. He'll get rid of the ball. He doesn't know if it's going to his team or the other team, but he'll get rid of it. I think that's first and foremost what you take from Monday night's game that you carry over to Washington.
To make him, you're talking about collapsing the pocket from between the tackles
Everything.
On Carson
yeah,
Wentz.
Yeah, if he's get to Carson Wentz.
Mine's kind of tied to Bob, and by the way, Darius Slay just named NFC Defensive Player of the Week for the fifth time in his career. Most among defensive backs since 2016. I used Darius Slay and James Bradbury and Avante, who I thought were all phenomenal on Monday night, to press. Make Carson Wentz think. Make him, you know, if they can do that, that leads to more time to collapse the pocket and to get pressure on him. You know, after watching that Jimmy Kemsky thread from the Commanders-Lions game last week and his pocket awareness, it's absolutely trash. So get as much pressure as you can on him. And to me, that starts with pressing and playing man-to-man at the line of scrimmage and make Scary Terry earn it.
And the center's out.
Yeah.
So I think he's out. So they're going to be collapsing through the middle all day long.
You have to get pressure without scheme from your front four or five. Like, you have to. It's imperative.
They have to figure
out Hassan Reddick. It has to be, you know, something with him, whether he's coming on an outside, whether you're calling it a blitz because he's showing coverage, whatever it may be. But, yeah, Fletcher Cox, Sweat, Hargrave, you got to get pushed there, man. Like, you got to get it without having to diagram it all the time. It's got to come natural.
It seems as if, and we'll hear more, there'll be a Speak for Yourself with Bob Cooney tomorrow. In the 7 o'clock hour, because you'll hear from Nick Sirianni today and the coaches. One thing was interesting, though. It appears the Jordan Davis issue is sort of being explained as, in obvious passing downs, they're not comfortable with him. When it's obvious passing downs, they're not as comfortable with Jordan Davis. That's what they're doing.
Well, that's a problem, too.
That's a problem.
I mean, you know, like I said.
Fletcher Cox is more prepared for it right now.
Yeah, I mean, if I see Jordan Davis on the field in an obvious rundown and I do run the ball, I'm going hurry up. I'm making him stay on the field and I'm going to throw the ball.
Sure.
And if he can't do that, like, that's a problem right now. We all thought he was going to come here and it was going to take time for him to grow. And we even talked about it. Geez, we love the Eagles' first three draft picks, but none of them could really see much playing time. You know, and now Jordan Davis is playing about 20% of the game.
I do think Monday is a little bit of an outlier in that the Vikings weren't really on the field that much.
And they were trailing.
No question. I dropped that up yesterday.
Yeah, so I
do think that played a part in it.
And they were trailing where they had to pass constantly.
Yeah, so this Sunday will be a different story, hopefully.
How many rushes for Dalvin Cook? Six?
It wasn't a lot.
I think he had like six rushes.
Yeah.
That's incredible because they were behind 14-0, and then it was... Okay, this is going to be uphill the whole way.
Yeah, so I hope he can get closer to 30 this weekend in Washington.
Look, I'm sorry. It has to come back to conditioning. Like, why can't he be on a field when they're passing? Obvious pacing. If he can get pushed through the middle, which is exactly what we were talking about, why wouldn't you have him out there? Why wouldn't you have him go there and flush that middle of the thing so you're out of the line so that your outside rushers can come in? I mean, it seems obvious. So if he's not out there for that,
I'm sorry, it's
got to be a conditioning thing.
Hey, brought to you by our friends at Colonial Marble and Granite. You've heard Anthony Gargano talking about Colonial Marble and Granite and trying to change his kitchen over. Fall into savings during Colonial Marble and Granite's harvest sale. You get 20% off all marble, granite, and quartz countertops and get a sink and faucet package fully installed for just $499 for a limited time. So check it on out. On, we always try on Wednesdays to give you a little bit of fun, frivolity, a little bit relaxation and rest. And you know what sums up that? Well, Pat's takes.
With or without, either way, it's time for Pat's takes.
Teddy Bruschi has just turned the dial.
That's fine.
Hi, Pat.
Teddy is just disconnected from the app.
That's fine. Yeah, he's not good at his job. someone say I wasn't either. Well, I guess we'll find out in the next 6 minutes or so. Only a team named Hamburger SV could have a story like this. Hamburger is in the second division of the Bundesliga.
There you go.
Being
in the second division isn't ideal. Hamburger needs to get promoted in order to do so, though. They're going to need their players lighter and focused. When it comes to their left back, Miro Myham, they got one of those, but the lack of both combined got him benched. It was announced that Miro, who was a starter, mind you, was benched for their upcoming game because he was spending too much time on the toilet.
Dookie? What?
Yes.
Does he have IBS?
Dookie. Got a guy benched. Miro explained that he was late to training because he was on the toilet, lost track of time. Quote, I hear this radio show I listen to constantly talking about all the online digital content. Then they do these air horse sounds.
Pew, pew, pew.
It sounds really cool, so I had to go to the bathroom, and I decided to check out 975thefanatic.com. Turns out they were right. I lost track of time as I read all the amazing digital content they had to offer. I was trying to find the latest Cooney's column, but I couldn't, and that's when I realized, oh, shit. We've got practice.
Oh, that was what it was.
Yeah, that excuse wasn't good enough for the manager who told Myham to sit his stinky ass on the pine.
Really?
Yeah, he got benched for being on the bathroom.
Well, he was being honest.
See, now I would admire the honesty also.
Yeah, I'd be like, all right.
If it happens again. You adjust your schedule, I would say. Adjust your schedule so it never happens again.
Yeah, if only the guy could find Cooney's column on the website, then it wouldn't have been an issue. He would have been able to find it, read it, and get on.
Got your ass.
Man, first back,
yeah,
Clint.
You really got me. Is it a recurring problem, or is this the first time it happened?
I don't think there's a lot known about this current situation with Myham.
I think you have to investigate further.
Bundesliga. Hamburger SV, but yeah, it leads me to believe that this might be an ongoing situation.
Hamburger SV, is that the one with Mariska Hargitay?
And we'll move on.
There you go.
Tensions were high after the Arkansas Razorbacks beat Missouri State 38-27. Now, you might think, hey, Arkansas fans must be thrilled they won, but no, not at all. They were heavy favorites and barely squeaked out a win against an FBS opponent that was coached by Bobby Petrino, their former coach.
Oh, boy.
So you can imagine being a diehard Arkansas fan who had aspirations of being in the national championship game. You watch your team barely beat an FBS opponent coached by your former coach that you hate. It's not a good mixture. Hypothetically speaking, on top of that, imagine also that same guy being hungry because you've been eating nothing but Beyond Meat burgers and they suck and you're craving a steak. Well, gentlemen, that's what happened to Doug Ramsey, who was on the he was on the edge, and he sat in his Ford Bronco waiting for traffic to pile out of the stadium. And it allowed him to stew, because when you have time to think about what you watched and you're sitting in traffic and you're not going anywhere, you know, tensions boil up.
Okay.
And then his passenger side tire was nudged by some scumbag in a Subaru.
It was nudged?
That's what the article said. It was nudged.
Subaru?
Subaru. Yeah. Not surprising. That was the final straw for Ramsey. The game, the traffic, the lack of real meat, it led Ramsey to absolutely snap. He hopped out. He started punching the Subaru driver. But then he bit his nose.
What?
Yeah, no, he flat out bit his nose. Yeah, all is kind of understandable because if you've ever driven behind a Subaru, you understand that, you know, a slow commute only becomes slower. And this guy was craving meat, so he decided to take a bite of the guy's nose. Now, you might be asking yourself, why is this even a story? Well, the reason is because of Ramsey's job. He is the COO of Beyond Meat. And he's out here biting noses.
Oh, my gosh.
All of this could have been avoided if Ramsey had just joined us at a PJ Wellahan's happy hour where he could have eaten some delicious wings, maybe tried the wing of the month, who knows.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is what happens when bad college football and the Subaru meet a man who is sick of Beyond Meat.
That
bad
is...
Bad things.
That is creepy as hell.
Bad things.
You bite somebody's... You bit the skin off someone's face?
Yeah, I know. I was surprised.
Yeah, it doesn't seem my go-to move.
You know, the article clearly said, like, the tire was nudged. So it wasn't like a full-on
collision.
How do you
nudge somebody's tire? I don't even understand how you do that.
I think the implication was this dude barely touched the vehicle.
Right.
You're driving a Ford Bronco here. You're not trying to drive like an Escalade. You're driving, I mean, a Bronco's
exactly.
a nice vehicle.
Seriously.
But still.
What, are you trying to get away from a murder
maybe
scene?
Maybe this guy was like me. He just doesn't like Subaru hatchbacks. Anyway.
So burgers are peace, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Tranquility.
Well,
okay,
not,
that's
not
really, okay.
No, but not Beyond Burgers.
Okay.
Not
yeah,
beyond.
The real
not
stuff. Fake.
The real USDA.
Like the burgers you had this
like
morning.
Wolf Burger.
Like
yeah.
Wolf Burger.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Wolf Burger.
And the thing that you'll be able to sample at the Burger Brawl.
Perfectly cooked.
Today in history, not a lot happened. 1981, Steve Carlton struck out a NL record 3,118th batter. He did so in a Phillies uniform, so that's cool. Biggest thing, though, in 1991, USA Basketball announced the roster that would be known as the Dream Team.
Wow. There you go.
That's it?
The Dream Team.
Yeah, man, that's all I got. Sorry.
Good job, Pat.
Benedict Arnold committed treason today.
What?
Benedict Arnold committed treason today.
Today's the day, then.
Today's the day.
Mm. Well, I mean, he wasn't paid, so he has a gripe.
I mean, shouldn't that be...
The man was not paid.
Shouldn't that be a part of it?
There was back due. It's like, what point do you just go, I'm going to go to somebody who's going to pay me?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're not... He's saying the check's not clearing. So, yeah. Pat, if like... You weren't getting paid for digital content or something.
Yeah, hypothetically speaking, which, I mean...
Pew, pew, pew.
Well, I guess we'll find out in 2 days, but if the check doesn't clear, I might end up going to WOGL and saying, you know...
What's up?
How much money you got?
How about Chris in Allentown? What's he saying this morning? Chris, good morning. You're on The Fanatic. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm very psyched about the 2-0 start that we had, but I am concerned about the defense yet, too, and I agree with what we're talking about here with, you know, defensive line not getting any push. I mean, we're worried about Jordan Davis' condition. The man's freaking 330 pounds plus, and the whole point of a pass rush is collapsing the pocket, and Fletcher Cox ain't doing his job anymore. Why is this kid not at least seeing some of these passing downs?
See, I think Fletcher had a good game Monday, and looking back at the, I'm no analyst, but I watched the game again, the 15-minute version on the NFL Plus app, and I got to tell you, I think Fletcher was raising some hell.
Yeah, he did well. He was noticeable.
I think.
Why are we not giving this rookie a chance and trying to see what he actually has? I mean, is this because of our OTAs and our conditioning, our preseason? Is that why our players aren't conditioned enough at this point in time? I mean,
well, they're.
He's had six months since he was drafted. He's had plenty of time to get in condition.
Sure.
I can't put that on a camp.
No, and I can't put that. And I honestly wouldn't put that on a coach.
No, but they might be babying him with the packages.
Well, they are babying him. I mean, they're on the record. By the way, not one Eagle coach is on the record saying that it's a conditioning issue.
Well, no, why would they?
Because they don't. They don't want to throw him under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Jeff McClain said that they had an Eagle
on the record.
Oh, on the record. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. On the record. Nobody has said it on the record. That doesn't mean it hasn't been said, though.
I mean, I just don't understand how our defensive line is not getting any pressure and not getting to the quarterback.
I got
great corners. I just don't understand this.
See, I think they got pressure the other night. I think they disrupted Kirk Cousins a lot.
Yeah, but not on most of it. Well, I agree with you.
Peters won sacks, right?
But not just sacks, but a lot of it came when they schemed. It was a linebacker coming in. It was you had two safeties coming up, but you had different. You're just not getting that natural push enough from your front four or five.
Zier White had a really nice game, and you know who else I think had a really nice game too was Marcus Epps.
Yeah.
They sent White a couple times. And I thought Epps was really good.
I just want to say, what are you going to scheme to get to right now find
just more surprising, where the quarterback's surprised by what you're doing.
Well, that's
like, is Hassan Reddick going to be all of a sudden, it's going to be a surprise.
I think that's where going out, that's why showing man's also important, so you can disguise things by going man and then dropping into zone or showing zone and going into man.
I think they'll be doing that to Carson Wentz all day.
Oh, yeah, I think they want to put his brain in a blender.
Yeah, making him think it seems to be a good thing anymore.
Yeah, because when he's when he's comfortable throwing the football, he's great. He's great at throwing the football. When he, if he has any kind of comfort level, he can sling it around.
I don't think he'll be comfortable on Sunday.
No, I don't.
Not
either.
Because of the pass rush per se, but
you
just
think the confusion. They'll make him.
I think going up against his former team is gonna.
I don't think he'll
have
be comfortable.
A little uncomfortable
because the 1,200 people that Vince and Philly Sports.
There's gonna be a lot of Eagles fans there.
We're gonna be there.
It's gonna be easy to see early on because if Carson Wentz comes out and he's got the woogies on the neck, you know that the week got to him.
Yeah.
I mean, John, you weren't here for the woogie.
The woogie.
But the woogies came out. When things got bad, Carson had woogie neck. And when that happens, you know he's not feeling right.
Is it like something you can see? Do you see like
red
marks?
Oh, my God, yes, you can see it. Yeah.
Like red marks.
Oh, yeah.
I have seen it then.
Yeah, he woogied up.
He gets the woogies.
Mary can do that to you.
I thought the woogies were like there was the red woogie, the blue woogie, the yellow woogie. Wait, isn't that a kid's thing?
I don't know.
And the Carson woogies, thing, it's red woogie.
This was from something about Mary when Woogie got around Mary, he'd break out.
He get the but he has the break. He gets upset.
Oh.
What was the thing? The kids show.
I don't know.
The Wiggles.
The Wiggles.
The Wiggles. I'm thinking they were called the Woogies.
What was their theme song? I'm just kidding. If you do it, I'm going to throw this ball in your head.
I don't know the.
No, don't even think. Please don't think of it.
I'm thinking of it, though.
Don't.
Hey, no one does happy hour happier than PJ's. PJ's great drink specials and $5 wings. You get five-piece wings for just $5 every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. Tomorrow, we will be at the PJ Willihan's in Haddonfield, New Jersey, where you can come on by and hang out with us.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that's a PJ's that is, most PJ's are, but that one's always crowded. I always go in there.
It's on the border of a dry town, isn't it?
Yeah, but like you could go in there after a round of golf. It could be 11:30, 12 o'clock. Boom, it's crowded. You can go in there 4 in the afternoon, maybe after one of your kids' game on a weekend. Crowded. It's a great one.
Newtown Square is always crowded. That's Pat.
Yeah, I agree.
Always crowded. The people in Newtown Square, nobody cooks. Then nobody cooks. They just roll into PJ's.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive. I'm pretty sure like it could be 5 years after the zombie apocalypse, and you're like, man, is there anyone alive? No, just go to a PJ Wellahan's, and they're all going to be just huddled up there like it's normal.
They're all there. So
business as usual.
All right. Darius Slay was a big topic of conversation. He got an award this morning. I want to talk more about him. Plus, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to know your show question and more. Stick around. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. My friends at Window Nation, they were so kind yesterday, by the way. Getting involved in our charitable efforts yesterday afternoon. I really appreciate them getting involved. And Window Nation right now is a charitable effort for you. How about this? You buy two windows, you get two free. And you're going to pay nothing with no interest until 2025. So you're going to lower your energy bills. You're going to raise the value of your home because you have new energy efficient windows from Window Nation. You're going to save money the next two winters and the next two summers on your heating and cooling bills before you pay a dime. And since they have an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau, you know you can trust them. And with average installers of 16 plus years of experience, you know you're getting the best in the business helping you make sure you get the best deal for your windows. Every size, every style, every color you could possibly need. They're all there with our friends from Window Nation. When you're buying two and you're getting two free, it cuts the deal in half. But when you have to pay no money until 2025, this is the absolute no-brainer. Get on in with Window Nation today. Call them today at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By The Fanatic.
I have 1 hour to go. I swear today has just, I blinked and it's over.
It's all that Cuyahoga Falls talk.
I think it's what it was. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. It was Pat blowing my mind with the Matt Klentak You just blew my mind.
What I do. What I do.
Should write some digital content about that.
Blowing your mind.
I'm going to write something about those like Mets with that great win last night that helped the
great come from behind win.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that.
Just unbelievable.
It's kind of like the morning mind bender, but it's for us, it's more of like the mid-show mind bender.
Mid-show?
Yeah, where I blow your mind with GMs who played the game.
That's an interesting... Not GMs. We're not talking about GMs. We're talking about the...
Bad GMs.
We're talking about who teams hire to do analytics.
Yeah, and then it leads to bad GMs.
I just got to be... And it may be an absolute bias here because it's weird. It's just already three emails in. And I got the first two I get in, totally on both sides of the fence about if I'm hiring analytics people, I don't care at all. It's numbers, John. It's statistics. I don't care if they played the game or not. And the very next person going like this, I want someone that understands what numbers mean. So I want somebody who actually understands what the coaches go through in a game, what position players go through in a game. So I think you're right about that point. But literally two guys that emailed within 2 minutes of each other with completely different opinions of this. Bob, if you're running an analytics department, it doesn't matter to you at all. Like, as far as if you're hiring just analytics guys, that you have an analytics guy who comes to you and he played D1 college football or he played D2 college football, whatever it is. And you got another guy who never played football at all. And they're both applying for a job to be in your analytics department. They both went to the same type of college, majored in it, studied in that kind of stuff. It doesn't in any way sway you? Because I couldn't tell where you stood on that.
I don't know. This guy that the Sixers backed when I first started when they first started going to analytics, was a guy that they told me he had 7 different degrees and he was going for his doctorate in this and all that and everything. And my first question, I guess it does, because my first question to him was, did you play ball? And he's like, no, I never played ball. Like, look, I'm sympathetic to it because I've seen so many sports writers over the year. How can you cover that sport? You never played it. Okay, I can understand the game. I know how to ask questions about finding knowledge out that the fans want, even if I had never played a game. So, I don't understand.
It's just if all things are equal, I think I'm hiring the guy who has the knowledge, the book smarts.
If all things are equal, probably you're going with the guy that's played. Yeah,
yeah. On paper, Matt Klentak would be perfect. A smart Ivy League.
No, I'm talking about no analytics department.
Well, yeah, but
talking about GM.
I think his route was analytics. Like, I think that's where he came from was in analytics. His foot in the door was, I'm guessing, through analytics. An Ivy League educated guy that happened to play the sport, too. Like, I think that's the best of both worlds when you're looking for the analytics department.
I just think the making analytics work in sports, that having the knowledge of that, and then you want to be in analytics, so then you understand... You've been in the locker room. You've been on the field. You've been on that.
Basketball, you can track every single dribble a player makes. But if there's wasted dribbles, and you know as a basketball player that number is inflated for nothing purpose, then who cares? Why even bring it to a coach? But if you know that your first or second dribble is the most important because it can get by somebody or whatever, however you're looking at it, then maybe it's worth bringing to the coach. So I do think some knowledge of how to apply the number is useful.
So the first thing, Sam Hinkie told me this, the first thing that he did when he took over, as far as analytics went, was he had his team chart the last 1 million shots the Sixers took.
Okay, wait a minute. A million shots?
Yeah.
And what was the payoff?
Exactly.
What was the expected payoff?
Have you seen something way different in the Philadelphia 70s? This is nothing against Sam Hinkie.
Well, in that he might have known that Robert Covington's best shot was 17 feet out, off the dribble as opposed to catching it off the shoe. There's probably things that they use to apply to direct players that you wouldn't necessarily notice in the flow of a game.
Right.
But it's guys, you get to this spot because you're the best here. If you're the best coming off of a dribble and catching and shooting, we want to draw up a play so that we get you to your sweet spot as opposed to, oh, I want you coming off a dribble 33 feet, you know what I mean? So, like, it's probably just minutia that you wouldn't normally notice.
But
it's getting the players in their comfort spots.
Yeah, I
you lost me.
I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
way before minutia. Like, I'm just saying analytics.
It is.
And you're right.
That's how
you are right.
That's how they apply it.
I know.
Is, all right, here, Doc Rivers, here's where, you know, DeAnthony Melton, here's his last 300 games in the NBA. He's most efficient shooting a jump shot when it's foul line extended off a dribble as opposed to off a pass. As a, you know what I mean? Like, it's no, just,
I know exactly what you mean.
It's just that type of stuff. It's boring.
I'm not anti-analytics at all.
No, I don't think anybody is.
I am just anti-analytics being towards the top of the decision-making
sure,
food
it
chain.
Shouldn't rule the day.
No, but it should be used. I want football people, baseball people, whatever.
Getting presented with meaningful numbers and analysis.
I love that Rob Thompson is a manager who has been on a bench, been part of a coach and everything like that. And I'm hoping it pays off down the stretch. But I always want the grizzled old baseball player, manager in baseball. I don't want the new age analytics guy as manager. I just don't. That's not.
But
what
the counter to that is Gabe Kapler was both, and
yeah, he was both, but he had no managerial experience.
Joe Girardi's both.
The only reason, yes. And I'm going to tell you this: the only reason that
he's got to find the right guy. That's what it comes down to.
Go research. Go research how Gabe Kapler got to be a manager in the first place in the minor league system, and maybe why it happened. There's some.
I don't think he's the Dodgers are shady.
Yeah, shady stuff. Hey, the Bagster is a dumpster in a bag. You can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to Bagster.com. If you're in our confidence pool, just always want to give you a reminder today and tomorrow. Get your picks in the confidence pool. I think it's the hardest week I've ever done it.
It's tough.
It's unbelievable.
I just submitted mine. I don't feel great about any of it.
No, I mean, it's a really, really difficult week.
Because there's a lot of bad teams playing bad teams and a lot of good teams playing good teams. So it's... it's tough.
It's a difficult. I mean, it's a really difficult
week. That was good.
Thank you. That's good analysis on your part there.
Bad teams,
that,
good teams.
Who do you pick if it's two bad teams? Who do you pick if it's two good teams?
I don't know. Who do you
flip a coin?
You got to have confidence.
That's why it's a confidence pool.
Is that where it comes from?
Just get your picks in. Why did Darius Slay have that game on Monday night? I'm asking it this way. Did Darius Slay have that game on Monday night because it was Gannon realizing they needed to play differently? Or did they add that game because of the fact that situationally it was just a different game plan? Do you believe that a veil has been lifted that from now on, since Jonathan Gannon should have the confidence that, man, my secondary can ball out, that now that dictates game plans going forward? So now on, we don't go back to, you don't go back to the game plan of week one ever again because you've seen the game plan work against a really, really good team on Monday night, a team that people think is going to be an NFC playoff team. Did something get changed or is that a complete overstatement? That is it. Like, I wonder, are we ever going to see them play that Detroit game plan again? Up 17 points and playing totally soft.
Yeah.
And playing. So you do believe they're going to do that?
Yeah,
again.
It's in his DNA.
But they didn't do it Monday against a much better opponent.
No.
They amped it up on Monday night. They sort of. I think they were actually bringing a little more pressure. When I go back and look at it, it seemed like they were being more disruptive.
Yeah, every game's different. Like the game plan that they put in against Minnesota worked. And it worked very well. And it's because you got Kirk Cousins out of his comfort zone. And Darius Slay was the beneficiary of that because he was covering, you know, his number one target. And then Slay had a great, great game. Is your game plan always going to work against the team? I don't know. Like, I think they should have a similar game plan against Carson Wentz this week. Do you put Darius Slay all over? I don't know. Do you have him on Dotson or do you have him on McLaurin? Do you match him up all the time? It's so different. Every week is so different. Why did Slay have that game? Because that happens once in a while, and he's really good. And everything came into plan.
Was it more Slay? Was it more game plan, the position they put Slay in?
And part of why I love Slay is I think he gets up for the opportunities, and I think he viewed this as an opportunity to shut down one of the top two or three guys in the league. I think he put a lot of film work into last week because he seemed to know what Justin Jefferson was going to do before Justin Jefferson did it. Like that one route in the end zone.
He was amazing.
He must have had eyes in the back of his head knowing that, because Justin Jefferson bailed on that route in a way. He needed to undercut Slay there because Slay undercut him. And
It was almost like Slay was the offensive player in that.
It really was.
That was almost a film study one.
I, that's why I think he put in a ton of work, because he knew he was going up against the best, and he wanted to be that NFC Defensive Player of the Week versus Justin Jefferson, and there he is hoisting another Player of the Week award.
I don't like your answer, though, Bob, the one that you gave, because I don't want to think that they're ever going to go, that I'm ever going to see them go back to that softy crap that we saw against Detroit up 17. The other night when they went up 17, I went, here we go again. Let's see how they play it. And they played it very aggressively.
Yeah, I don't know if some of that's being home, that it's easier to stay aggressive at home as opposed to on the road. I don't know that he's totally scratched it because he saw the results from week one. He did it a lot last year. He's going to do it again. Look, there's times during a 17-game season where you're going to have a 17-20 point lead and you say, you know what, guys? Let's go in our shell. Keep it in front of you. Relax. Not that you want to tell anybody to be cautious or relax, but you know, save legs, maybe something like that.
It's where guys get hurt.
It could be something that, you know, he could bring out again. Yeah,
that breaks my heart.
He's a gamer, man.
I just want to see it from this point on. I want to see aggressive.
Well, you know, he can do it. So apply it.
I think another point was he got sick of hearing the people like me who were saying, "Well, Justin Jefferson's going to get his."
That could be.
That could be.
Is that your Lobster Tube?
Someone talking back to you on that one.
I mean, yeah, I'm doing research over here for Lobster Tube, and all of a sudden, you know, the
and then all of a sudden, they
but
just
yeah,
get,
no,
get
I think that I think that had to do a big part of it was we just assumed Justin Jefferson's going to get 100 in a touchdown. It was I said it multiple times. So I think he took that as a slight because that second interception, it seemed like he was kind of like, oh, you're going to test me again? Like, how dare you test me again after I already picked you off once? And I should have picked you off before because the play before he had an interception too.
As Zach McPherson said, he put him in the car seat.
That's right. Because
see, that is a that do you let? And by the way, do you let someone else say that?
Yeah, you love hearing that from your teammates.
I like Zach McPherson, but should Zach McPherson be
sure? Say it with your chest. They won that game.
And Justin Jefferson going, Zach McPherson. I'm sorry, I don't play special teams. I don't know. Can you tell me who you are?
Well, Justin Jefferson can't say anything right now.
No, but I mean, I think that's something that sort of should come from, if you're going to talk trash like that, it should be coming from somebody who's really performing.
No, I like the fact that it was, that Darius Slay didn't have to because his teammates said it for him. I personally like it.
I thought it was a great line.
Yeah, it was a great
line. I thought
line.
It was cool.
And Zach played, I mean, look, he didn't get
he didn't
much
play.
He almost had a pick himself.
He almost had a pick, yeah.
Yeah. He did. He kind of dropped it. It would have been a tough play.
If Darius Slay comes out and says that, and then
Darius Slay should say it.
If Darius comes out and says it, and then this week he gets torched, then all of a sudden it's the narrative is, well, did you put him in a car seat? Like, he gets ripped for that. So it's a good thing that he didn't say it.
Okay.
It's a great line. Good win. It was on Washington.
It was a pretty good line.
It's great.
It's a really good line.
He called him a baby.
Enjoy the win.
Slay has seems like a decent relationship with Justin Jefferson. He got a ball from him, I believe, because it's his son's favorite player.
That's cool.
You know, like stuff like that. So the car seat thing, I think, as an athlete, you look at it at first, you're like, oh, yeah, screw you. But then you say, like, that's a pretty good line. I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
You got a lot on your to-do list, but don't overlook the most important item. It's your health. The steps you take today are the steps you take to a healthier tomorrow. So call Jefferson Health at 1-800-JEFF-NOW. That's 1-800-JEFF-NOW. Jamie Lynch wants to talk about how statistically the Eagles' offense looking pretty good.
This is the Lynchpin.
Yeah, according to Pat Egan's favorite website, PFF. And Kevin Rice, who I believe has my tweet loads because I didn't have it ready because I'm a dummy. Kevin Cole released yesterday the updated offensive run and pass efficiency percentiles. You know, it's the quadrant, you know, run, pass, and then, you know, efficiency, X and Y axis. And who's sitting in the top right of the quadrant of efficiency and run and pass balance? Your Philadelphia Eagles.
It's amazing.
Right up there with them is actually the Cleveland Browns, the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions, and Arizona Cardinals are kind of your top right quadrant teams. That's great. I mean, they're by far and away the most tippy-top far right you can get.
Tippy-top?
Tippy-top. They're leading the league in not only efficiency, but the balance. It's exactly what you want to see. I mean, I think at the end of the year, if you look at that top right quadrant, it's probably going to be the majority of your playoff teams. having whatever you define as modern NFL balance. It's probably more 60-40-ish than anything. But you got to be efficient in your balance, and so far they're cutting teams up.
I saw your work, and in preparation for the segment, I had to go back and look at 7 weeks in last year.
Of course you did, Jeff.
And they were the worst. The Eagles were the worst from week one.
Well, yeah, they ran the ball four times against the Dallas Cowboys.
They were the ones week one through week seven last year. They were the worst team in the NFL at this.
Yeah, and then...
And so I applaud this fully.
But what does that point to? Shane Steichen's doing a really nice job.
It absolutely does.
Ever since Nick Sirianni gave up the play calling, stepped away, and...
It's much better.
...trusts his coordinators to do their job, Shane Steichen not only has an exceptional record as the play caller of the Eagles, but it's really well balanced and really effective. And
it's been really good.
Shane Steichen's doing a really nice job.
I love it, and I love the fact that it is where Aikman the other night was pointing out. The fact is, throwing out of running formations, running out of throwing formations, not being in that where it's just so predictable. The looks that they
play gave, action is critical to the NFL.
It's fantastic.
You got to have the threat to do the other. I mean, it's just basic football.
By the way, that Josh Allen guy, why do they keep falling for the play action with Buffalo? Because Buffalo can't run the football.
They had some nice runs the other night.
But they fall for it. I don't think they're to me, they're going to still have to get that. They got to get more devoted to it. At least put it that way.
Well, yeah, when you have an elite passer, you're probably going to use him more than your run game. And there's a reason he's an elite passer, because even when you try to stop the pass game, you're in trouble. Stephon Diggs just... I thought he was great 3-4 years ago. He just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Yeah.
And Gabe Davis, I know he missed this past week, but they didn't even need him. He's pretty nasty, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
I like it.
I like it. It's good stuff, Jamie.
Yeah. And Johnny B, shout out on Twitter, just sent me the video of Darius Slay on the NFL Network when they did their top 100 players release. Video of him talking about Justin Jefferson in the top 100. Here's Darius Slay's quote. I see him on my schedule next year. I've already done my game fill on you. I'm ready to compete.
Well, he most certainly has.
I mean, that's the type of guy I want on my team every day of the week. Somebody that sees the best, circles it, and prepares. And he kicked his ass.
You know what I like?
On Monday.
Is that I love knowing that my star players are putting in the work.
It's great.
And not just trying to get by on.
Because if they do it, you figure everybody else is going to follow by example.
Exactly.
That's how they become star players, too.
And
there's a lot of talented people in every professional sport.
Sure.
The ones that become, there's some that are more talented.
Tom Brady.
Ones that become some of the greatest are the ones that put in exactly what you're talking about.
And that's where it is. And I remember it because I remember with Michael Vick. Michael Vick had all the talent and all the commercials and all the Nike commercials and everything, and then they didn't put in the work. Hey, the final stretch of the John Kincaid Show, that's a win right now, is presented to you daily by the Stretch Zone. I'm going in for a stretch today. Cannot wait. And your body deserves a good stretch, too, because it's Stretch Zone. You're going to get a great stretch, and you don't have to do any of the work. Book your free 30-minute stretch session today. This is a great thing. They're not charging you anything to try it. You're going to get a 30-minute stretch session, and then you're going to see how you feel, if you liked it. And if you like it, you hook yourself up, and you go back, and you get yourself set up for a program. Go to stretchzone.com. They're really awesome people. Stretchzone.com. So there's so much good coming out of that game the other night, though.
Yeah, I mean, there was hardly anything to be upset with.
And everybody, it was unanimous yesterday across the NFL that, Eagles. It's out of everybody's mouth. Like, that was the talking point yesterday. Taking note of the Eagles. Even the Cowboys. Do you hear Jerry Jones on his radio show talking about the Cowboys?
No,
talking about the
saying?
Eagles? That Jalen Hurts is going to be trouble. He's going to be trouble. He's gone further than sort of we expected this fast. He's going to be a difficult... Those Eagles are going to be murder to deal with. And Jalen Hurts is just surprising us. Look how he's come along. And I'm like, Jerry Jones, seriously, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're... You're not supposed to, like, I would hate hearing Jeffrey Lurie on a radio. Jeffrey Lurie's on a radio show, man. I'm watching the Cowboys. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You've got to be worried.
You want honesty, but sometimes too much honesty is not a great thing for
the
leader.
Well, when you have a radio show's appearance, your son does, who's the actual GM.
Yeah.
The guy who actually handles your scouting department and everything like that. You just got too many Joneses talking.
Kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Dad. Like, I mean, Dad, just shut up.
Yeah.
I would imagine that they would appreciate that if he would, but...
it ain't going to happen.
Did you see the video? I'm going to have to find it. Saw it last night on the news of the guy who recorded, who knew he was dying and recorded the audio to be played by somebody at his funeral. So they're all around the grave.
Oh, jeez.
And this guy recorded audio. He knew he was dying. And he records audio. Everyone's around the grave. The priest is there. The family's all huddled around. All of a sudden you hear...
Did he record audio?
Banging. Let me out! Let me out!
Jesus. Oh, my God.
I can't believe... Get me out of here!
That's awesome.
And somebody plays it.
Oh, my God.
And the whole... Everyone just starts rolling laughing.
That's amazing.
And he goes, I can't move in here! Let me out! And then he starts dropping F-bombs... Everything. Get
in front
me
of
out.
The priest?
Get well, me out of this effing bomb.
Yeah, he's already dead.
Get me out of this effing bomb. Like Bob, the priest had as much a laugh as that's not a curse word, so he's all right. He is literally the priest is laughing as much as anybody as he's trying to keep everybody composed. But somebody hits it.
Wow.
That he had performed it. Let me out of the box. What are you people doing to me? You're come on, open it up. Somebody get down here and open this box.
That's pretty funny.
I was like, oh, jeez. Huh. Well, I mean, it's you certainly it had everybody laughing.
Well, they knew
once
him.
They got past the initial shock of what is going. You see the faces like, what is going on here? We have a lot coming your way in the home stretch here, including a Cooney's Corner. We'll try to slip in another linchpin and AJ Brown. Uses the blue medical tent in a very interesting way. We'll get to it all next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Now, fall's here, which means winter isn't far behind. So why don't you check your furnace? Get the furnace checked out before the really nasty cold weather comes and it breaks down on you because you think it's on its last legs. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning's $59 gas furnace tune-up includes a carbon monoxide safety check. That's absolutely awesome. They will take care of you. They'll do a great job. They'll make sure your system's up and running before you have to call on it to save you on the first 20-degree night. If you need a new system, the Lynch has just learned this. You can get rebates up to $1,500 or 0% financing for 18 months if you're a qualified buyer. When you own a home, you need a trusted heating and air conditioning contractor that you can rely on. You want fast, friendly, honest service? Well, Delco HVAC and the Hoke brothers are going to take great care of you. Visit DelcoHVAC.com to schedule your $59 tune-up or new system estimate today, and you'll see why they have over 1,000 five-star reviews, plus one from Jamie, one from Coach, and one from me. That's DelcoHVAC.com. Tell them we sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. And don't miss Lynch and Cooney and Egan before every away game live from timeout on Pine this football season.
Yeah, as we learned, Huntington Valley is exactly 25 minutes from everything. So whether you're coming from Cherry Hill or Phoenixville or where I'm from, Glenside area.
It really is
amazing. 25 minutes.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre, the central location.
It's the nexus of the universe.
That's why it was chosen.
Yeah, timeout on
time. Is that why it was chosen?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's 25 minutes from the Commander Stadium.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that so well. I will be at the game.
Yeah.
It's like a hyperloop.
I can't wait. You haven't been to FedEx Field, right?
No, I've not been to FedEx.
I can't wait to see your review.
I can't wait for that review.
It is such a toilet. It's unbelievable.
So we had some online video content?
I think that's a good thing. If you see a pipe leaking, yes.
So stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like a little tour, like a, I was thinking like a, one of those like HGTV realtor tours of a property.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Visit timeoutpa.com for details on how you can hang out with the boys on Sunday morning before the Commanders and the Eagles coming up. All right. The day that the football season ended, the morning after last year, The Eagles on the, a variety of spots here were 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. So that was before they did anything. Season ends. Rams win the Super Bowl. The Eagles were 40-1. When they got into March, they dropped to 33-1. After the beginning of free agency, they went back to 40-1. Further in free agency, they went to 45-1, which was the highest odds on March 28th. Week one, they dropped to 20-1. Now, after week one, they dropped to 14-1. After week two, they're now 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. And only three teams have better odds. The Buffalo Bills, 9-2, so 4.5-1.
I bet them preseason.
The Kansas City Chiefs, 7-1. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 8-1. The Philadelphia Eagles, 10-1. And the closest person to the Eagles team, the Green Bay Packers at 14-1 and the L.A. Chargers at 14-1. And I think the L.A. Chargers are 14-1 because of the fact that you got the Bills and the Chiefs so high.
Right. Yeah.
That, so that affects their number. But when Adam said today he's very, very confident about the Eagles being in the mix all the way right now, the Eagles are right on the tails of the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I saw Mike Clay from ESPN put out that, you know, the Eagles are 2-0 and hold the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. And you just went, wow, that's wild.
It tells you what, it tells you how much that, that Monday night victory meant.
Yeah, it was a big win. As and, Bob would tell you, there was W's and L's. You know, that's a big one.
That's a big one. And it was more so of what you saw as opposed to just the win. I mean, there was
the
one.
How,
there's
the how.
The biggest question going on into this year was, number one, Jalen Hurts. Number two was Jonathan Gannon. And they both performed really well in front of a national stage. So everybody all of a sudden is, wow, Jalen Hurts. This guy was questionable? Are you kidding me? That's everything you have right there. Oh, yeah, that's right. They signed that A.J. Brown guy. Oh, I remember Devontae Smith. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. Now all of a sudden people are like, oh, wow, this Eagles team. Whoa, let me throw some shekels on them. Yeah.
I wonder about it. I mean, it's I'm shocked.
Well, and Jalen moved, I think, into third or fourth in the MVP, you know, odds. And we got a tweet earlier from Bill Strobel who listens and said, isn't it a little premature for
this?
And I said, it is, because if you went back to last year and went through the first 7 weeks of the season, Kyler Murray was probably your MVP leader in the clubhouse.
Kyler Murray was number one at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so, yeah, even longer. So, yeah, it's too early, but it's still cool to see.
And Kyler Murray, by the way, came up with a...
He was huge on Sunday. Huge.
My God. The funniest thing, and I know this is probably, it's been out there for a while, but the Twitter thing that he looks like a little kid running with his parents' phone. No. Did you ever see that?
No.
So somebody said on Twitter, you know, it's so true. He looks like a little kid who stole his parents' phone and the parents trying to get it back and the kid running away, running away from the parents. And there's a like a something on Twitter of a little kid doing that. And then they show highlights of him scrambling against the Raiders. It looks exactly the same.
There's a Blue episode about that.
He was incredible the other day with that comeback.
That was incredible.
I mean, the two-point conversion was something like bullet. I've never seen.
Yeah.
Well, no, the one where he ran.
That he ran around
was that
for
the
10
touchdown?
Minutes.
Yeah.
No, it was no, the two-point conversion.
I thought the two-point was the bullet.
And then the bullet, yeah, the bullet of the guy coming across the back of the end zone. He was really, really good on Sunday.
Yeah, I think, no, seriously, he took... That he ran around, that has to be the longest. That might be the longest I've ever seen a pro athlete run around a two-point conversion.
And it's good discipline on Arizona for not, you know, getting a hold, getting an illegal man downfield, whatever. That was a wild finish to that game.
Did you see also, too, Bob, to your point that you've brought up before, his eyes
yeah.
on the entire scramble?
Sure.
He never took his eyes off the end zone.
No.
I mean, didn't look down, didn't look away, didn't...
Yeah.
He's looking. That was really good.
It takes a brass set to do that.
We're going to have a very difficult day in Arizona.
It's going to be it could be the first loss of the season.
Could be.
It's great that DeAndre Hopkins won't be playing in it, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, that's cool.
Yes.
James Conner's beat up. I don't know what his status will be by then, but.
He's productive when he's healthy, but God, he's not healthy enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of thing. If you're not available, you're not available. So, hey, Martin Law is Philly's original law firm for injured workers. Schedule a free consultation today at paworkinjury.com. Bob wants to be definitive. He wants to sort of understand what trends mean.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, like Shefty said it. Guys, it's week two. We can't really, you know, build anything off of this. You're not sure about some things. You might be sure about another. But I think after 2 weeks, you can kind of start to pick up on some trends, maybe, you know, with teams. And with this Eagles team, the one thing that I saw somebody out, and this is why this came to my mind yesterday. Somebody said, you know, really bad trend by the Eagles that they haven't scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter yet. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a reach.
No, that is a reach.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts did come out and say, and I don't know who the person was that put it on there, Jalen Hurts did come out and say, look, we have to be better in the second half. You know, we weren't good on Monday. We weren't good. We should have put up more numbers in the second half. But good or bad, is there any trends you see with this team right now? Because I have one, and I'll throw it out there. I think that Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen have done a 180 in their trust with Miles Sanders. And I think it's trending towards him becoming the no doubt number one running back, where I think at times last year we questioned whether he was the number one in their minds or not.
Welcome to the club, Nick and Shane.
Yeah, it's
good. The water's warm.
The water's cool. Come on in. My guess is, though, that that was the challenge they put to him. And they said, show it, prove it, show us.
Could be.
And now he's showing them. So they went right back to him the other night. In fact, they went to him earlier as a sort of a very much a focus on Monday night. That may have been the matchup with Minnesota that they felt they needed to do that. But I'm feeling really good if I'm right now that they believe in me.
Yeah.
They're saying that Miles Sanders is saying this coaching staff does believe in me. And maybe that's something that they tried to correct. Maybe he doubted their support of him. Maybe they doubted him being able to do things. They challenge each other.
Maybe he went to hit them also.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, like,
I know players that go to coach say, look, I have a feeling you're doubting me. And we know that he likes to talk. He may have gone to the two of them and said, look, I know you doubted me, but don't. Give me the ball. Like, I can perform. If I don't, okay. But give me the ball.
And
I don't know how
prove
it went.
It to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see any trends, James? Anything good, bad that I don't want to say surprise you, but it looks like it's something that they're consistently going to do.
I mean, I think Monday was the first time you got a look at how much easier life can be for Dallas Goedert and DeVonta Smith. I mean, the A.J. Brown effect, I don't think is going anywhere. Even if he's not putting up 155 yards, I think he's making everyone else's life easier. I don't think that's going anywhere.
Yeah. That's my big one, but since Jamie took it, I'll go with, I don't think the secondary is going to really falter too much. I think this is legit.
When you have a secondary that is really impactful like that,
something sweeter than you, John.
It changes everything.
I mean, like Darius Slay is obviously the big name guy. He's the NFC player of the week for the defensive side. But, you know, Avante Maddox had an incredible interception, and he locked Justin Jefferson down. Then you look at the other side. James Bradbury had a quiet, really nice game. They moved Justin Jefferson around so much that while Darius Slay gets a lot of praise, and he should, it wasn't just him. It wasn't just every play, you know, Justin Jefferson versus Darius Slay.
Yeah,
that team right now has a variety of ways to beat you.
The Eagles.
If it works, yes.
Oh,
if
God.
If it works, they have a variety of ways to attack you.
Yeah.
They can attack you with one of the best running games in the NFL. Now you got A.J. Brown in there. Now you got a quarterback who is doing a little better job at delivering the football. I mean,
yeah, I thought it. What stuck out to me also again yesterday was the word that we all used last week: force the ball. He's going to force the ball to DeVonta Smith. Force the ball here. Force the ball there. There was none of that, and a lot of it had to do with, I think, the Eagles' offensive play calling. What they called was open, and then the example I gave earlier about that third read by Hurts, that he was finding other guys that were open. If one read was gone, he was going to another that was open.
By the way, Jamie, did you mention that Avante Maddox's name? Because you know he's coming to FanFest.
Oh, is he? I didn't hear that.
You didn't realize that?
I blacked out at 8 o'clock. Is that what you guys talked about?
Avante Maddox is coming to FanFest.
Yeah, Avante's a great dude. We talked to him for, you know, the course of a season 1 year, and he's just a very personable, fun, great dude. So.
Yeah, if you missed it earlier today, Avante Maddox has been added to the guest list for FanFest 2022. You want a chance to win a special VIP experience where you meet and greet with Avante Maddox and Darius Slay? Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR and make a donation of $9.75 or more before September 29th to be eligible. And everyone who donates, in this one-of-a-kind VIP experience with FanFest is going to be hanging out with Slay and Avante Maddox.
You think James Bradbury's feeling left out?
I don't think he's feeling left out, but...
You know, if he wants to come by... And look, Dallas Goedert, he might be the designated driver. Well, no, it's a day before a game. He won't
be
that.
From walkthrough.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Dallas might want to just mosey on over with Avante. Yeah. They are roommates. They probably, drive in together. Yeah.
If they'd like to come over and meet the sports radio station that actually, like, was with them, supporting them in Tampa last year in the playoffs.
Yeah. And is going to be out there with them in Arizona.
And we'll be there in Arizona, too. Like, you know, we're the station that supports the Eagles. We actually travel with the Eagles, and even though we travel on our own with Philly sports trips, but we're the team that's actually there for them on the road.
We're not faux fans.
Yeah, I mean,
we're real boys.
We actually interact with the fans. I'm just saying.
Yes.
If they'd like to, we're down.
We're in the trenches with those people.
Did you talk to Westbrook yet? Is he going to that game?
I'm going
to
hit him up.
Are you trying to figure out another way that you guys can get like a VIP experience?
If he's there, I'd like to say hi. That's all. No.
That's all. We'll do it.
If we find you guys, we'll do it together.
It's unbelievable.
It's not right, John.
I mean, John, if you go somewhere and you know that somebody else is going to be at that game, usually
you catch up,
to hit them up, and say, "Hey, you
know, where you at?
You want to grab a drink?"
All I know is,
especially when it's a 30-point blowout,
completely not foxhole, and completely jackassery move on your parts, and it's fine.
Really. I thought it was a good move on our part.
I know it's a great move on your part, but it's short-sighted. You see, there are other ways you can then say. Maybe you can always count, you know, you can always count on support from somebody for men when they get a chance to hook you up.
Mm. I think we've
said next time they go, the thing was,
we knew we were going to have to sneak past security people.
Yeah.
You can't do that in a crowd. And I think you would have buckled at the knees a little bit the first time they asked the question.
I've never buckled. There's nowhere that I've ever gone that I buckled where there's an MVP. Hey, can I walk in? Can I be a VIP? I act like I belong.
You would have
I
taken
stroll in.
45 minutes to say, Brian Westbrook said to come meet him.
Nope.
I just picked up my cell phone.
Yep, that's it.
Showed him a text.
Pat, our VIP experience is a little bit different. I've been in numerous times. No, that's not the case.
I think you would have been our weak link in that situation.
You keep doing you.
I think we made the right call.
I don't think we get on the field if Kincaid's there.
We're going to find out.
They sniff that out.
There will be the, it's going to be the, wow, nice. That was fun for me.
No, what do you mean you forgot us? You were hanging out with Connor and Chet.
We sat in the upper deck and it was great.
It was more off the cuff than it wasn't really planned out. We were going to get Pat an ice cream.
You make it seem like we were sitting there planning this out for months.
You didn't answer text to where are you?
Ooh. We were showing our phone to the security person. We couldn't answer text from nobody.
You guys during the thing. Where are you guys?
We told you eventually.
You didn't answer those either, but you said you were on your phones.
It's good that a year later you're...
Exactly. That's all right.
By the way, I constantly have my phone on Do Not Disturb, first of all. Yeah, but it's good to know you're over it.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I was too busy showing the security guard a text from Brian Westbrook.
Let's get to the Know Your Show question of the day. So, Know Your Show. We have two pairs of Phillies tickets to give away.
Nice.
Yeah, so we have two questions here.
You guys came up with a question.
Did you come up with a question?
Go for it.
The first question we had is, we mentioned this earlier in the show, how many states is Connor Thomas planning on going to this weekend and eating a meal in? How many states is he planning on going to and eating a meal in? So,
see, I heard two answers to that question.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, I think we threw out a fake number.
263-0975, you think you know the answer.
You didn't know either one of the numbers.
We didn't throw out two numbers. We threw out one number. And it was what? So you just have to call in 215-263-0975. We have a pair of Phillies tickets to give away. How many states did Connor claim he will visit this weekend and eat a meal in?
215-263-0975.
The second question we have, do you want to save it or do you want to...
No, let's get the second question.
Okay, the second question we have, if Connor could answer the contest line back there, that'd be cool. What is the location of the last Arthur Treachers? There's one Arthur Treachers. And this little town...
I don't think it's little.
Got a lot of love from the John Kincaid show today. Probably more love than it did in its actual town where it's located.
Michelle's brother lives there.
Philly Sports Trips is planning a getaway.
Yeah, they're planning a getaway to this place.
LeBron vacations there.
To the Arthur Treachers.
Yes, but the first question is how many states?
How many states?
The second one's...
All right, Jamie, now you said... Jamie, you thought that there were... two answers to the first question. I did too.
Yeah, I did too. So we threw out the fake number and then the real number.
So somebody,
I don't even know the real answer.
If either one of those numbers comes in,
yeah, one of them will.
We'll get a winner on the Know Your Show question. All right, we got Matt on the line. Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you,
Matty? What's the number for Connor's Trips?
Lost you. Sorry, I lost you.
What's the number for Connor's Trips?
It is six.
Six, yeah, is the right number. Yeah. No, that's the right number.
Well, I had 11.
No, wait, wait, see,
that's why we had two answers.
We told you there were two answers.
Just give him the dip.
Yeah, yeah,
he's getting them.
He had the right number. Matt, we're going to give him, Matt, give that. No, we have to.
11. No, enjoy the game, Matt.
That's where we told you you guys gave out two numbers. 11 was the joke.
There's not even 11 states up there.
Pat was too busy doing Matt Klentak research.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Enjoy the game, Matt. Lauren, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Lauren, you have the answer to the other question. Where's that Arthur Treacher's?
Was it Sandusky?
No.
So close?
No.
No, it wasn't Sandusky.
Oh, no. Oh, so close. That's where Callahan Auto Parts is.
Oh, we didn't mention Sandusky, but it's not the place.
We did mention it. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that breaks my heart because she pretty much had it.
She pretty much is. That was like a 3-foot putt.
Yeah.
Now people are getting almanacs of Ohio. Glad I figured. All right, Brandon, what do you got?
I was calling in for the contest.
Yeah, what is it? What's the city?
Oh, Cuyahoga Falls.
There you go.
Enjoy the Phillies game.
Put them on. Enjoy the Phillies game. Did you really just say enjoy the Phillies game? That's a big thing. We're hoping to enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll enjoy is when we win Marconi for that amazing contest that we just did. Boom! Way to go off on a high note, boys.
The first answer we gave had two answers. And Jamie and I both look at each other going, okay, there were two answers to this question.
There was Bob's smack ass answer. And then
I got
the
nervous
real answer
on that. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know what the real answer was.
Bob didn't even know the own show. It's unbelievable the stuff that happens on here. Avante Maddox will be with us at FanFest. Have you checked that out yet? We will enjoy that. And PJ Willihan's in Haddonfield tomorrow night for happy hour. So you want to make sure that you are there for that, to hang out in Haddonfield. What are you doing? You doing a radio show on the side here?
You're sitting there screaming.
We're in the middle of the show. You're screaming.
Was I screaming?
Yes. We're on the air. What are you doing?
I couldn't even focus on
what you're doing.
I'm sorry.
Can we just...
What was that about? What was that about?
Digital content.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow for AACR.
I swear. It's like, what the hell is going on?
I thought I was being quiet.
Yeah, no.
So Jamie got in my ear, and I said that his idea that he was talking about would make great digital content. And that's when he yelled at me that, hey, jackass, I already put my digital content up on the website, which is
true.
Okay,
there's something going on.
Sorry about that.
Do you guys want people to go on the website or not?
We do. We want them to go all the time. Oh, my gosh. That
we
is great.
The show early.
It's just unbelievable today.
We're on fire these last 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a little...
Is this crossover going to end soon?
I think at some point it will. Now, Anthony's going to be out, and Chunas are out today at the golf tournament.
Who's they're golf tournament? Where are they?
They're at Bluestone.
We love Bluestone. We played there.
They're at the APGA event. And so they'll be there today. It is the final day of that event. So it's amateurs. It's a golf tour that is now promoting diversity. And it's primarily African-American golfers. And I got associated with these people down in Atlanta. And they now have guys who are hitting it to the tour.
It's great.
Who are being able to find a way, get in on the tour. So you're going to go out. They have four local golfers that are part of the field, too.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I'm sure Anthony will
catch
up.
Good luck to those guys. I'm pulling for them.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the local guys.
Screw the other guys. Let's go locals.
I mean, and of course we have to say it. Let's go Mets.
Yeah.
Let's go Mets.
2 o'clock, root for the Mets.
We need
day game.
Because since the Phillies can't take care of their own business,
right,
we're hoping the Mets can take care of their business.
Sometimes you need a little help.
Yeah, sometimes you do. Because,
right? Takes a village. It does. Yeah.
Can the Phillies score in the first three innings tonight?
Who's pitching for the Blue Jays?
Oh, we talked about it.
Gosman.
Gosman?
He can be a gas man.
He can be a gas man. These guys are
good.
How do they know I got gas?
They'll
score in the first three innings tonight.
Pat, are they scoring in the first three innings tonight? Not your Mets, Phillies.
They will.
Okay, they will.
And they're not my Mets.
Bob?
Yeah. They'll get a couple of runs.
Screwed.
They'll get a couple of runs.
Hey, support Life Saving Cancer Research. Join us and our generous partners, Pierce Phelps Bryant, Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Are you in the foxhole with us? Be there tomorrow morning at 6 because you never know who is in this show. John Kincaid Show. Have a great, great Wednesday, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.